a few days till the 15th when the internet royalty rates take over and music on the web may be going down. So that's my call to action for the day along with everything else. And I don't think Mel Watt was being at all unparliamentarian this morning, and I liked his words in the committee.
I've always liked him. I think he's great.
I even
Radim, thanks for calling in. Next time, call in a little bit earlier, all right?
I will.
But she's absolutely right on that. We have to protect internet neutrality. Listen to Radim. That's all for me. I'll see you next week. This is Mark Levine signing off.
Transfer power to Vice President Dick Cheney during the routine procedure. The medical test will be done at Camp David. President Bush accused the Democrats today of playing politics on the Iraq funding issue. 2 days ago, Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid shelved the defense authorization bill. A deputy of General David Petraeus is clarifying comments he made yesterday about how long it would take to evaluate the results of the U.S. troop buildup in Iraq. Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno said he would need until at least November to do a good assessment. However, today he explained that he didn't mean to suggest a delay from the September reporting date. Illinois Senator Barack Obama, a Democrat, said in an Associated Press interview that the U.S. military cannot be used to solve the humanitarian problems in Iraq. He added that the prevention of a potential Iraqi genocide is not a good enough reason to keep American military forces in the country. President Bush signed an executive order that will bar the cruel and unusual treatment of suspects, terrorism suspects. The order spells out new interrogation techniques that can be used on those suspects. In Pakistan today, the Supreme Court has reinstated the country's Chief Justice. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf had suspended the judge for alleged misconduct. That decision resulted in political protests across the nation. Israel has freed 250 Palestinian prisoners today. They were mostly members of Fatah. The prisoner release is seen as a way to boost Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In southern Afghanistan today, at least 18 members of a South Korean church group were abducted by Taliban gunmen. The group's spokesman said the Koreans will be questioned about their activities in the country before a decision will be made about their fate. The FBI will investigate whether a referee for the NBA allegedly bet on basketball games, which he officiated over the past two seasons. And Chinese officials have shut down several companies that were involved in the recent health scare over tainted food products. This is the Quality News Network.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Yeah. What happens when those sprinklers come on?
You give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayo's at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isadoras. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Nigeria's official news agency reports that the country's school children who received laptops donated by a U.S. aid organization are using the computers to browse porn sites on the Internet. The group, One Laptop Per Child, will now put filters on the computers it gives away to school children. 18 Boy Scouts and hikers were rescued from a campground in Utah because of a wildfire nearby. The U.S. Forest Service says the fire has burned 13,000 acres so far. A 4.2 magnitude earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area this morning. There was no major damage reported. However, many stores had merchandise knocked down to the floor. The TSA will lift the ban on cigarette lighters on airplanes. Airline passengers will be allowed to carry the lighters aboard starting August 4th. It was found that the ban did little to make flying safer. In Michigan today, negotiators from the United Auto Workers Union and the Chrysler Group formally began contract talks. General Motors reports it had higher global sales of autos in the second quarter of 2007, surpassing Toyota. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.57 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones was down 149 points, ending the day at 13,851. The NASDAQ was down 33. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Six minutes past the hour. It is a veritable smorgasbord of horror that we confront this Friday, heading into this late July midsummer's weekend. I don't know where to start. Comedy? Comedy? How about comedy? You want to start with comedy? You want to laugh? How about this for a real giggle? Headline, Bush signs order banning torture. Jesus, that's a good one. President Bush signed an executive order Friday that prohibits cruel and inhuman treatment in the detention and interrogation of terrorism suspects. Yeah, okay. The only problem is it defines cruel and inhuman treatment as a virtual impossible event. I ban cruel and inhuman treatment because we ain't doing it anyway. So it's banned. There, see? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, of course, I'm worried about George. I am truly worried about him. If you were listening to QNN's Top of the Hour News, you will know that at some point tomorrow, the President of the United States will be Richard B. Dick Cheney. And knowing that man's propensity for evil, I'm truly afraid, because I have a shred of common humanity. I have real compassion, not conservative compassion. I'm afraid that while George Bush is getting his dose of, Versed and fentanyl, that little cocktail that lets you stay completely coherent and yet remember nothing of what has happened during a colonoscopy. While a little Demerol, too, that's right. While George Bush is getting the steel eel tomorrow, I'm afraid that that Richard B. Dick Cheney will just have him killed. Yeah. Look at the opportunity Richard B. Dick Cheney has. He can say that it was the fault of secular humanist relativist gay Islamo-fascists. Sure. And the thing is, there's still a good 23% of the electorate that'll go, dang right, it was the fault of secular humanist relativist gay Islamo-fascists. Sure. Then again, I don't know, George could have an adverse reaction to all those medications and come back to the consciousness as an Etruscan housewife. I mean, we don't know. Or maybe, remember that movie? Remember the John Travolta movie? Before John Travolta was making movies where he was in a dress, Face Off?
Phenomenal.
No, remember Face Off? What if Dick has W's face redone as John Edwards? And then whacks the real one. Ooh. You think Richard B. Dick Cheney wouldn't do any of this? This is disturbing. Although there is a good side to this. During tomorrow's steel eel procedure, tomorrow's colonoscopy, there is every possibility in the world that some gastroenterologist will actually, for the first time, see George Bush's brain. Or what little of it there is. So, you know, there's a couple of starting points for us. It gets worse. This is kind of neighborhood news and neighborly news. If you get familiar with some of the folks that are involved in the anti-mountaintop removal movement, I've just heard this, and frankly, it floored me, it stunned me. One of the people central in that movement is a wonderful, wonderful human being by the name of Larry Gibson. His family lived on property around Cayford Mountain, West Virginia, for about 300 years before Massey Energy came to destroy it all. And at Cayford Mountain, you could go and you could see a scene of utter destruction and demolition and death and devastation that literally would encompass your horizon from one little island there. And Cayford Mountain was a real pain in Massey's ass because folks like the people at Coal River Mountain Watch and Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and the Highlands Conservancy and various and sundry guests who have lately included Kathy Mattea and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. went to Cayford Mountain to see what was being done around it. Today, Massey bulldozers went into the Gibson family cemetery and bulldozed it. I'm not prone to weeping. I've talked about a lot of rotten crap on this program, and this one makes a lump in my throat. I don't know how many generations of Gibsons and other related families were in that cemetery, were in that hallowed ground, but I know that it went back, and somebody will, I am sure, tell me, it went back a couple of hundred years, at least. And it's gone now, that final resting place. Now, I don't know if you spend a lot of time worrying about what they're going to do with your bones when you're done. A lot of you are inclined just to get roasted and move on. Some of you want the dirt nap. I used to, when I was a younger man, I used to say I wanted them to chop me into chum and take me out at sea and go shark fishing with me. But that was when I was young and more ironically turned. But regardless of what happens to you when you're gone, we tend to think that there should be some level of reverence for the passing, or we hope that there will be, for the sake of those who remain. But they don't. There won't be. There's no guarantee. Just as treasure hunters can drag some bandaged up pharaoh's corpse out of his tomb and put it on display for gawkers to stare at as they walk past clad in their Bermuda shorts and their Ray-Bans with their little cameras flashing madly away, so too you cannot count on the idea that your remains will be left alone. especially not if you're going to get your remains interred in West Virginia, because you never know when, oh, you know, 15, 20, 30, 100 feet down, there might be a 2.5-inch thick seam of coal that some greedy son of a bitch wants to get at in order to make an extra buck. You know, maybe by then it'll be the son or the grandson of Don Blankenstein, who, like his grandfather or father before him, still hasn't figured out that they don't attach U-Hauls to hearses. My heart is bleeding for Larry Gibson today. It is aching for Larry Gibson today. A cemetery. You know, it used to be, back when we had law in the state of West Virginia, it used to be that grave desecration was a crime, and at the very least a civil wrong, such that negligent grave desecration would result in a jury verdict against the desecrators that would put them out of business. But that is not the West Virginia that we live in the year... God, never mind. It's always been the West Virginia we live in the year whatever. But in 2007, it's even worse. In 2007, the rubber mask is off and the entire government of the state of West Virginia is corrupt. We have a biannual contest between members of the Republicoles and the Democoles. And they vie to see who can get a seat in government so that they can bow down a little bit deeper for the coal industry and the demolition industry and what should probably more properly be called the drag line industry. There are little cemeteries around here, and they are scattered probably within a 20-mile radius. Any one of which I can go to and say, look, there's great-grandfather so-and-so. There's great-aunt Sophroni. There's Uncle Bill, Grandpa Fred, there's La Viggy Lawrence, there's Dick. Larry Gibson cannot do that anymore. His family in a beautiful spot on a hill that once looked out on paradise, the paradise to which the people who occupied the clay that was interred in that soil once hoped to attain to. It's all gone. It's just gone. What would you do? May I ask you, what would you do if someone violated the last resting place of your great-grandfather or your grandmother or your mother or your father? What would you do? Would you just sit there and say, well, damn, they did it? Or would you feel the need to perhaps go and sit in silent vigil in front of corporate headquarters? Or would you be inclined to do something else? What would you do if they took a bulldozer and they sunk the blade and they just ran it, oh, a couple of feet deep and started scraping up Granny what would you do? How would you feel if you were Larry Gibson? Well, let's make something clear. And the shame of it all is that I can't get this message out to more people. There's a guy in Sarasota who finds it too much of a pain in the ass to reach up and turn off a wall switch when he leaves the room. And because turning off the lights in an apartment in Sarasota is too much of a pain in the ass, they dug up Larry Gibson's grandparents today. There's a woman in North Alabama who's frustrated by the slow boot time of her old computer, so she just leaves it on at all times. And because her life is too busy, her world too important, her existence too harried to sit quietly and wait while a computer boots, they bulldozed Larry Gibson's great-grandparents today. Because, you see, blaming Massey Energy is easy. They've got a hateful leader who looks like Reginald Van Gleason with a sleazy little pencil-thin mustache. He looks like he ought to be either selling used cars or pimping old whores. And the company is a nightmare that couldn't make a profit on a dare. And the people who work for the company are militant and hateful. And they do things like bulldozing cemeteries. 5 years from now, there will be an expanse of moonscape in the state of West Virginia that equals the entire area of the state of Delaware. And it will have been done mostly by Massey Energy, but also by Peabody Coal and Arch Coal. And so it's easy to hate those sons of bitches. But what about the people who don't give a damn what happens here? What about the people who, and it's kind of like evangelism when you get right down to it. Because I remember growing up in the Southern Baptist Church, and sooner or later, if you're paying any attention at all, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Amen, sweet Jesus. If you're paying attention to that crap, sooner or later you look up and go, what about the people who live in the jungle who never get to hear about Jesus? Well, son, they have to go to hell. It's that way with this issue, too. What about the people who don't know what is being done in order to provide them with power? What do we think about them? What do we say about them? What do we say about the guy in Sarasota or the woman in North Alabama? Would they change their behavior if they knew that their behavior was causing a war zone to exist in another part of the United States? Or are Appalachians just like ignorant people, savages in the jungle, to a guy in Sarasota or a woman in North Alabama or a kid in Middle Tennessee? I don't know the answer. I am not the answer man. These are questions that I put out there for your consideration. Now, look. I know the people involved with Coal River Mountain Watch. Those of you in the chat room have the privilege of being there with someone from Coal River Mountain Watch. And she can tell you how hard they go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, trying to stop this madness, trying to bring this war against Appalachian people to an end. There are heroic stories after heroic stories after heroic stories of people like Patty Seebach and Bo Webb and Judy Bonds and our good friend Nanette. The stories of the Sylvester Dustbusters, a couple of little old ladies who stood up to Massey when nobody else would. And they're doing this heroic work in the middle of a war zone where 38 Hiroshimas happen per year. That's how much explosives goes into all of this. And they're trying to get the word out. And they go on the road. They've got there's a presentation, and they will go anywhere that someone wants to hear about what's happening. And they're trying to educate the public. They're trying to reach that dude in Sarasota. They're trying to reach the kid in Middle Tennessee. They're trying to reach the lady in North Alabama. But they need help. They need you. Do you know people who don't know about mountaintop removal? If you know people who don't know about mountaintop removal and you do know, why don't the people who don't know know? Let me ask you a question. Have you blogged about mountaintop removal today? Have you told friends, family, neighbors? Have you made yourself an absolute nuisance about mountaintop removal yet? Have you looked at somebody when you're visiting in their home and they leave a light switch on and you look at them and you say, you know, they're making a war on hillbillies so you can leave that light on. They're bulldozing cemeteries. Can you find time to stand up for the dead? I guess I'm being a little harsh. A lot of you have started spreading the word, but you know what? Until we have reached critical mass, I'm not going to lay off of this. Until we have reached a point where everybody is talking about this, where everybody is shocked, everyone is horrified, I'm not going to shut up. A couple of years ago, they tried to shut me up by running me off terrestrial radio in Beckley. The minute I was gone from WWNR, a string of Massey bought and paid for advertisements started running. Funny how that happens, ain't it? I won't be silenced. I will not be silenced. These are crimes being committed, not just against nature, but against the people who live here. Hell, there are crimes being committed against the people who are committing the crimes in their own families. People working for Massey are poisoning their own progeny. But they're getting a check for it, baby. It's corporate welfare of a sort. There's no bigger welfare queen than somebody who works for Massey Energy. Because Massey is subsidized by the government in one way and another. It's corporate welfare all the way down. Massey Energy would have collapsed a couple of years ago had it not been for the Tennessee Valley Authority violating federal law to buy their coal and keep them afloat. So, yeah, people working for Massey, there's no bigger welfare queen on earth. And at the same time they're taking the welfare and poisoning their children, their grandchildren. They're making a place that will not be fit for their grandchildren to live. Have you blogged, talked, called about mountaintop removal today? If you haven't, why haven't you? The dead are silent. The dead cannot speak. They rely on you for your voice. So I suppose that's where our Friday evening discussion begins. Silence is acceptance. Silence is destruction. Silence is devastation. Silence is surrender. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This used to be a real nice neighborhood to the company moving down the block. They took away everything that was good, left us nothing here but rocks. This is where I played as a kid, and I dangled my feet in the stream. While the trees swayed over, head in the breeze, now it's all a sad memory. Why does my heart cry out loud when I see these trees and hills gone without a word or a sign, without a last goodbye?
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Calendar for Saturday evening, July 21st, because at 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern, Billy Shears will be right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're going to just love night sounds. We'll have plenty of great music and more. So, is it a date? We'll be waiting for you, Saturday night, July 21st. Be there.
Thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Today you blasted near my street, and my house cracked at my feet, I can't help it if my home is in. Politicians by your side, they look so satisfied. I can't help it if my home is in your way.
26 minutes before the hour.
Promises you made.
Email rolls in from our good friend Cindy in Washington State with regard to the monsters who work for Massey. You know, they think they're just ordinary Americans just getting up every day and going to work on the drag line and destroying another mountain or two. They're nice people. They show up at church and they bring casseroles to the dinner on the ground. And then they get up the next day and they go and they destroy another mountain. And they go out and buy some $100 Michael Vick dogfighting tennis shoes for their kids. They have the morals, these Massey workers. They have the morals of a hyena. Cindy says, that wasn't Cindy's email. This is Cindy's email. That was strictly editorial comment. My bad. She says, we have the same kind of ignorant people here in Longview, Washington. They want their old jobs back, making paper to wipe your bum with out of the old forests that feed oxygen to our atmosphere and spirit to our lives. We're currently fighting off the mountaintop removal strip miners and the liquid nitrogen to gas people, LNG gas people, who are trying to invade our state. Bush has taken our local say-so away. These guys are getting permits straight from the White House. She says, I'm incensed about the graveyard. A bit of heartfelt history. Damn to hell all those who had a hand in it. May their own families suffer the same. I don't know. Maybe that's the next step. Dead Massey workers get dug up. Maybe it's time to start doing that. Flinging their bones in the streets. Letting the corpses pile up. Hoo-wee. Do they deserve any better? I'm not saying shoot them down or anything. I'm not that kind of guy, but once the fickle finger of fate has tapped them on their tonsure, and they get the $15,000 funeral, dig them up and throw their rotten corpses out in the alley. They do it to other people. Why shouldn't it be done to them? These are church-going folks, people. I'm telling you, they're in their little churches every time the doors open. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. By God, if you bulldoze a graveyard, don't hope for any eternal rest till your post-millennial, pre-millennial ass can get raptured up to Jesus. Nope, we're going to put your hand here and your head there. Let your left leg float down the Ohio, merge with the Mississippi, and wind up somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. You're just going to be a mess when Jesus comes back. A little quote from, that wasn't Cindy's either. My bad. I got to differentiate between email and the stuff that email brings out of me. Little quote at the bottom of Cindy's email, a quote from Ralph Chaplin. Mourn not the dead that in the cool earth lie, but rather mourn the apathetic throng, the coward and the meek, who see the world's great anguish and its wrong, and dare not speak. And dare not speak. Thanks, Cindy. Thanks very, very much. Now, part and parcel of all of this, you ever seen Super Size Me? Super Size Me is a brilliant film, a documentary by a man named Morgan Spurlock, a young man, who, looking at the harm that is done by prefab food, determined that he would go on a 30-day diet of nothing but Mickey D's food. And he catalogs it quite thoroughly,
with medical testing along the way, watching what's happening to his serum cholesterol, watching what's happening to his LDL, and watching what's happening to his HDL, watching what's happening to his blood glucose levels, watching what's happening to his heart rate, his blood pressure, and even his psyche. And it was a devastating indictment of McDonald's, and McDonald's is still feeling the after effects, because all of a sudden that happy-faced little clown took on rather the look of a demon, and mothers and fathers started wondering whether they were doing the right thing by taking them there, taking their kids there for their happy meals. Kind of made us all look up and go, well, Morgan Spurlock, you're apparently on the side of the angels. You're doing the right thing. You might actually have saved a life with your movie, Morgan Spurlock. And here where I am, it made us particularly proud because we could look up and say, well, hey, Morgan Spurlock is a West Virginian. Because, you know, the entire state of West Virginia is just like a small town. We don't have any multi-million human being cities here. Everything's a small town. The biggest town we have, there's a decent chance that you can play sort of 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon and know somebody who knows somebody who knows everybody in the entire city. And that applies to Charleston, to Huntington, to Parkersburg, Beckley, Clarksburg, Fairmont, Morgantown. So we are proud of our own when they leave this what was once deemed this mountain paradise, this little Switzerland, and they go out and they make a positive mark on the world. We cheer them. We applaud them. We're proud of them like we're proud of our next-door neighbor when he brings home the blue ribbon for the 100-yard dash from middle school field day. Well, Morgan Spurlock has taken all of that pride, unzipped his fly, and peed all over it. Morgan Spurlock, as a function of his job, his self-defined job, producing a program for the FX channel called 30 Days, has decided that he's going to spend 30 days living with a coal mining family and working in a Bluestone Coal Company mine in Wyoming County, West Virginia. We know what it's going to be like because this news was sort of broken to the area by a sleazy, pustle-gutted piss bucket named Bill Rainey, who is president of the West Virginia Coal Association. He said about the 30 Days episode on being a coal miner, I personally think it's going to be very, very positive. We're going to see a West Virginia coal mine and a coal mining family on the FX channel after the first of the year. Now, okay, well, Bob, you know, maybe you're prejudging this. Maybe it's not what you think it is. Maybe he's going to hammer the company. Quote from the newspaper article, Spurlock will also be speaking to the West Virginia Coal Association at its annual meeting next month at the Greenbrier, Rainey said. At the Greenbrier. In Greenbrier County, where they're opposed to windmills because it creates viewscape pollution. Morgan Spurlock has been bought and paid for. Morgan Spurlock could just as well put on the, well, he's tarted up for the coal industry, shall we say. He's doing for Bill Rainey what Monica did for Bill Clinton. Morgan Spurlock has decided he's going to be a friend of coal. Jesus Christ. Rainey was welcomed Wednesday afternoon by a growing group of women. Ladies, I'm sorry, that just did.
Give me another bonbon!
In support, a growing group of women in support of the coal industry. Don't blame me. Blame Audrey Stanton, features editor of the Beckley Register Herald newspaper. Welcomed Wednesday afternoon by a growing group of women in support of the coal industry. Jesus, somebody have that grammar taken out back and shot. West Virginia Coal Association President Bill Rainey encouraged the Friends of Coal Ladies Auxiliary. Jiminy Christmas, the Friends of Coal. How about that, ladies? You can't even be female and be a friend of coal. That's a boys' organization. They gotta have a ladies' auxiliary. You know, to make the casseroles and clean up after the boys are sitting around farting and scratching themselves in their Friends of Coal Lodge meetings. Bill Rainey encouraged the Friends of Coal Ladies Auxiliary to help change coal's negative image. Oh, maybe it'll help change coal's negative image, but it's not doing much for the image of the coal industry as being quite misogynistic and sexist. No, I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't be a member of the Friends of Coal, but you can be a member of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Friends of Coal! I don't know, maybe the Ladies Auxiliary is just a whore's core to the Friends of Coal. The Little Sisters. Although the television show, FX, has the potential to reveal the coal industry through the eyes of one who works in it, other national attention has put a negative light on coal, Rainey said. He called on the Friends of Coal Ladies Auxiliary. Jesus, I can't believe it's the first decade of the 21st century, and there's an organization out there that still has a ladies' auxiliary. You know, because the delicate flowers of femininity aren't up to the snuff of being full-fledged members of the Friends of Coal. The Friends of Coal Ladies Auxiliary has grown to nearly 100 members since its inaugural meeting less than 2 weeks ago. He called on them to help educate the public. And what are you going to tell us, ladies? That you're subservient to the Friends of Coal and you couldn't get full membership, so you had to be part of the Ladies Auxiliary? What are you going to do? Have bake sales and bazaars, ladies? Rainey said, "It's terribly important that we tell the facts, and that is that we're mining coal with a great deal of stewardship. We're under attack from a lot of people," he said, naming specifically Al Gore, Kathy Mattea, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. "We've made all kinds of mistakes," he said, "but the important thing is that we're addressing them. We're fixing them. We're attempting to be better from an environmental standpoint. We're attempting to be better from a reclamation standpoint. We're trying to fix global warming." See, the proof of the non-existence of an actively participating God in the universe is proven by that last statement, because the minute that "we're trying to fix global warming" came out of Bill Rainey's mouth, any kind of active in the process God would have struck him down with a lightning bolt for lying like that. "There's no alternative to coal unless you want a nuclear power plant in your backyard," Rainey said. Well, I tell you, this Audrey Stanton, she is some stenographer. Rainey said, after explaining there isn't enough land for solar panels and wind turbines to produce the amount of energy coal currently does. Really? Huh. Rainey also said West Virginia is the third most forested state in the nation, and therefore the state's abundant hardwood forests absorb more carbon than the state emits. Bug spray. Liar! We're not going to be the third most forested state in the nation for long if your buddies in the mountaintop removal gig get their way, Bill. And you can't grow a hardwood forest on a mountaintop removal reclamation site. Because they can't sink the necessary root structure because you've destroyed the groundwater supply. You've blown away the water table, Bill Rainey, you lying sack of crap. Rainey said, "We're not perfect, but not by any means, but every day there are a whole lot of people working to make sure our world tomorrow is better than it is today," he said, referring to local universities like Marshall and West Virginia University looking for better ways to mine coal. Rainey encouraged the women who met at Black Knight Country Club, fitting, to fulfill their mission of influencing education and elections. Okay, these are his words to the ladies' auxiliary. Agnes, just go ahead and put your fingers in your ears, okay? Because you're just going to want to go and hunt down Bill Rainey and skin him like a skunk when you hear this. There's no force like a gang of women. You can have an enormous impact on those that serve in office. I repeat, there's no force like a gang of women. Gaggle of geese, Hector of hens. What's inherent in that? Oh, you know how them women are. If we tell our friends the Coal Ladies Auxiliary to get with it, they will nag, they will henpeck them men till they do the bidding of coal. And see, this is all just so much smoke and mirrors. Because you see, the entire legislature of the state of West Virginia, the governor's office of the state of West Virginia, most of the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia, most of West Virginia's circuit judges, its magistrates, its county commissioners, its mayors, all race each other to see who can go and suck up to the coal industry a little bit the best. I mean, there are a few good ones. There aren't many of them. There are a few good members of the legislature. There aren't many that are any good. I can tick off maybe 5 or 10 members of the House of Delegates that I would be proud to be able to vote for. None of them live in my county. I can tick off maybe one state senator offhand that I can think of that I enjoy, that I take pleasure in voting for. One of them lives in my county. And they did everything in their power to get him out of the state senate. The fiends of coal did. So, it's frustrating because and I'm spending all this time. You know, this isn't a West Virginia show anymore. When my program debuted on terrestrial radio, it was beaming at best during daylight hours into southern West Virginia. The stream took it out to the world on the internets. It's where a lot of you first hooked up. But this isn't a West Virginia show anymore. It doesn't have the West Virginia focus that it used to have. Some people have complained about that. But this issue, I've got to talk to you about, because, you see, Jay Rockefeller, our senator, and Robert Byrd, our senator, will not lift a finger to end mountaintop removal. Neither will my congressman, Nick Joe Rahal. Neither will Representative Alan Mollahan, and God knows, the daughter of the single dirtiest governor this state ever had, Republican Shelley Moore Capito, is not going to say so much as boo to Bill Rainey or Don Blankenstein. The people of West Virginia are not going to be helped by the representatives of the people of West Virginia. The same thing applies to the Appalachian people living in eastern Kentucky and the southwestern corner of Virginia and the northeastern corner of Tennessee. They are not going to be helped by their elected representatives. I hope it's... And the thing is, it's probably clearer to you than it is to a lot of West Virginians. We are not going to receive any help from our elected representatives because our elected representatives, Sunshine, are bought and paid for. And we didn't write the check, and we don't have enough money to write the check. And so if we go to one of our elected representatives and say, Jesus, will you look at what you're doing to the people in southern West Virginia? They say, jobs are important in West Virginia. And if we stop mountaintop removal, we won't have no jobs, and then what'll you do? And see, that's a defeatist attitude. That's an attitude that says we are so entirely stupid here that we cannot imagine our freedom, so therefore we will continue being slaves. So I continue to tell you outside this state about what is going on. I've been talking about it since before anybody else in this country was. And I will continue. Because our only hope here in West Virginia is you who are not in West Virginia. I don't care if you're in Arizona, California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, the Dakotas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. I don't care. I don't care if you're in Texas. I don't care if you're in Louisiana. I don't care if you're in New Mexico, Colorado. I don't care. Kansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I don't care. Please, for the love of God, see if your elected representatives will take some interest in this issue, because we in West Virginia have been left high and dry, and we are all alone, and we are defenseless. And if you do not reach out to help your fellow Americans, we will eventually be either scattered, smothered, or covered like some sort of godforsaken hash browns at the Waffle House. That's how important it is. I have a granddaughter coming up on 4 months old. She has no hope in her elected representatives, and she doesn't even know what those things are yet. She just breathes a mass of garbage every day into her tiny little lungs. And her governor won't help her. And her members of the House of Delegates won't help her. And her senators won't help her. And her congressional delegation won't help her. Neither the judges, nor the magistrates, nor the sheriff, nor the assessor, nor the county clerk will help her. Only you can help her, and thousands like her. Only you. Now, we talk a lot about, oh, we got to call our congressmen about this, and we got to tell our senators about that. But I'd like to issue a bit of a challenge. Make yourself a note, put it on the door, tape it to the dashboard of your car. Tell someone about what's happening to Appalachia today. Make sure it's somewhere that you will see it every day. Commit to it. Raise hell. We've bombed other countries for doing less to their own people than what is being done to the Appalachian Americans. Tell someone today and every day about mountain range removal and the promise I make is that when your neck of the woods is in trouble, Appalachian people will be there for you, if there are any Appalachian people left. All right, this is one solid hour. I have run my yap. You want to join in on the program? The phones are back to normal. The toll-free line is 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you've got some sort of nationwide long-distance plan where it doesn't cost you extra, you can call us at 304-658-5453 and save us a buck or two. We'd appreciate it. This is America's liberal voice, America's progressive voice, the voice of those who are voiceless. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is a quality news network. President Bush will undergo a colonoscopy tomorrow. He'll temporarily transfer power to Vice President Dick Cheney during the routine procedure. President Bush has signed an executive order allowing the CIA to resume using interrogation methods banned for the military. The Justice Department halted the program until it determined the methods do not violate the Geneva Convention. The president says the Democrats are playing politics with the Iraq funding issue. He called on them to put aside partisanship, stand behind the troops, and give them what they need to succeed. 2 days ago, Democrat Majority Leader Harry Reid shelved the defense authorization bill. Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno has clarified a statement made yesterday about needing until November to do a good assessment of the troop surge in Iraq. Today, he said, he didn't mean to suggest a delay for the September assessment the president has been counting on. Illinois Senator Barack Obama, a Democrat, said in an Associated Press interview yesterday that the U.S. military cannot be used to solve the humanitarian problems in Iraq. He added that the prevention of the potential of a potential Iraqi genocide is not a good enough reason to keep the American forces in that country. In Pakistan, the Supreme Court has reinstated the country's Chief Justice. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf had suspended that judge for alleged misconduct. That decision resulted in political protests across the nation. Israel has freed at least 255 Palestinian prisoners, mostly members of Fatah. The prisoner release is seen as a way to boost support for Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas among his people. Last month, Islamic Hamas militants forcefully took control of Gaza. In southern Afghanistan, Taliban gunmen abducted at least 18 members of a South Korean church group. The Taliban say they'll question the group before deciding what to do with them. Football player Michael Vick faces repercussions after his indictment in an illegal dogfighting ring. Nike's holding back on a new Vick shoe, and the animal rights group PETA is protesting NFL headquarters. They're demanding the player's suspension. One senator, Democrat Robert Byrd, even weighed in on the issue, saying he wouldn't mind seeing execution for offenders. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Be or not to be. That is the
proficiency in reading and writing is a crucial connection to higher learning for both youth and adults. Without the foundation of basic English skills, access to education and employment is severely limited, if not impossible, for an estimated 40 million illiterate and semi-literate adults nationwide. If someone you know needs help in learning to read and write, there are local groups that can provide assistance without the threat of embarrassment. The Monterey County Free Library System offers unlimited one-on-one classes meant to help anyone at any proficiency level step over the language barrier. Weekly classes are held at several free library locations across Monterey County at no charge. For more information on Monterey County Free Library's Adult Literacy Program, call 424-3564. This message brought to you by the Quality News Network.
18 Boy Scouts and hikers were rescued from a campground in Utah. The U.S. Forest Service says a fire burning there has charred 13,000 acres so far. There are at least 13 fires burning in the West, which are being fueled by dry, windy weather and high temperatures. A 4.2 magnitude earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area this morning. Residents reported only minor damage. In San Francisco, a federal appeals court reprimanded the Veterans Administration for its treatment of Vietnam-era vets exposed to Agent Orange. The court ordered the VA to pay retroactive benefits to those who contracted leukemia as a result of exposure to the toxic defoliant. In Michigan today, negotiators from the United Auto Workers Union and the Chrysler Group formally began contract talks. National contract with the Big Three automakers expires in September. General Motors reports it had higher global sales of autos in the second quarter of 2007, surpassing Toyota. And Harry Potter fans worldwide are lining up for the official midnight release of the seventh and final book. Even before it's out, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows has created a stir as a story leaked out and one internet retailer sent the books out early. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $75.57 a barrel. The Dow closed 149 points down at 13,851. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, the stuff I hear on QNN, I love those folks. Memo to my Senator Byrd. When you are a former member of the Klan, it is best not to urge execution for any black Americans, even if they've been charged with dogfighting, okay? Thanks. No charge, Bob. No charge. Because I know how it goes with the Republicans. Tomorrow morning on the sleazy little creepy right-wing blab fest that goes down in Beckley every day and passes for radio, I'm sure somebody will say that ahead of me, or independently of me, I should say. And we're going to go to the phones right here in just a second. I want to ask you a question, though, because I worry, and I'd like your thoughts. Your thoughts are always welcome. My God, if you haven't figured that out by now, what the hell am I doing here? But, you know, I realized that I spent an hour on basically one story. And I listen to a good bit of talk radio, too, and I'm amazed at the ability of various and sundry hosts to roar through, story after story after story after story. And in 15 minutes, let alone an hour. Am I doing something wrong here? I mean, I may very well be the first talk radio, conversation radio host, whatever you want to call me, to actively solicit suggestions and help from the audience. Most of the egos are too big to permit them to ever do that, with a few notable exceptions. But is the pace of the program okay with you? Is it okay that we spend this much time on one story? I have my reasons for doing things that way. I believe that this story is one that does not get, especially the one I just spent the last hour on, does not get nearly enough exposure. The hour that I just spent on mountaintop removal is probably about 1/1,000,000% of all the talk that goes out there, and I make certain assumptions about you guys. You ladies, you gentlemen, my friends. I assume that you know about certain news stories. And that unlike right-wing listeners, you don't need me to spoon-feed you the facts about them. So I try to bring you stuff that maybe hasn't caught your eye, or to bring perspective to something, a means of looking at something in a way that perhaps occurs only in my sick and twisted mind. So that's why that is. But if you want to chime in, bob@headonradio.com is right there for you. Let me know, or hell, tell me on the phone. I don't care. 877 See, it's been so long since I've used it, I've screwed it up. 877-443-2366 or 304-658-5453 are the numbers by which you reach the studios here in the hills and hollers of our undisclosed location in West Virginia. Let's talk to Alan, our over-the-road trucking buddy. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Where are you today, Alan?
I'm in Kentucky, and I drove through West Virginia yesterday and saw the signs that say Friends of Coal. And I think you ought to throw it right back at them with bumper stickers and signs that say Friends of Windmills or Friends of Solar and things like that.
Well, in a way, you know, and I saw that bumper sticker you designed and in the email. I think it's just beautiful, Alan. And I'm going to send it on to some friends and see if they can maybe get a few of them printed up. I think it would be really wonderful to see those pop up. The other thing we have going here is bumper stickers that just say "I Heart Mountains," and those
that sounds like a good one.
Those are growing in frequency, even as we speak, more and more every day to counter the Friends of Coal. The frustrating thing, though, is that the Friends of Coal, of course, have so much more money.
Yeah,
and it always comes down to money, you know.
But the people of this country should be a lot more powerful than money, because money, all it represents is greed, from way I understand, it seems like to me.
Well, you're right, but the other thing is leadership, Alan. The one thing that I don't think has dawned on us yet, those of us who are upset by this issue, those of us whose, you know, family cemeteries have been blown up and bulldozed, and I'm not saying me, I'm thinking about Larry Gibson, those of us who have had, as our friend Maria Gano has, have had an entire mountainside slump into the backyard of her home and destroy her way of life, the one thing we all haven't figured out yet is that we cannot wait for a leader to come to us and help. The leader has to grow organically from our own soil, and we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't figured it out yet.
The leader is we the people.
Right. And from we the people has got to come the people who will stand up and run for election, because it takes a lot of guts anymore, because the other side is hateful and mean and deceitful and dirty and will destroy families, friendships, entire communities in order to protect their subsidized, profitized way of living. And we've just got to get a lot of leather about us. We got to get hides on us like alligator skin.
Yeah.
And
well,
stand up and do it ourselves.
When I have some extra cash now and then, I like to give to organizations that promote what I believe in. And I believe in protecting the mountains. I believe in protecting the rainforest. And I think this is a very good issue. And what's a good organization I could join?
Coal River Mountain Watch, my friend. Coal River Mountain Watch. CRMW.net.
Okay.
I know these people personally, and I know how hard they work.
Yes,
And they need all the help they can get.
That sounds like a good one. I think it's a very good issue.
It's a tragic issue, Alan. And the biggest part of the tragedy is the absence of absence of exposure across the country. Again, we've bombed other countries for less than what is being done to Appalachia. I mean, that's true, don't you think?
Yeah, and also, once we destroy this planet, like the Dalai Lama said, what other planet do we have to go to?
Yeah, we're not quite ready for that mission to Mars yet, are we?
No, and there's fundamentalist Christians who might actually believe that, but I think they're going to have a rude awakening, and it seems like it's going to be sooner than later, the way things are going.
Well, and yeah, it's sooner than later, is my fear. But, it almost makes you speechless when you see this kind of stuff. What part of West Virginia did you drive through, Alan?
I went all the way across on 64. It's a real beautiful drive. Thankfully, you can't see any mountaintop removal from the interstate, but I think that's an intentional. That was probably done intentionally.
It is intentional. So you went all the way from basically Huntington to Greenbrier County.
Yeah,
and that is
on 64.
Well, when you were passing through the Beckley area, if you'd pulled off on State Route 3 and gone down about 15 miles, you'd be in the heart of the destruction. And one of the things you can do is at crmw.net or ohvec.org or ilovemountains.org, you can go and you can see the photographs. And these are flyover photographs, and they will make you weep. They'll take your breath away, and you'll get an idea of what's being done here. And we're talking about literally thousands upon thousands of acres. I mean, I kid and I joke and I say that, you know, when a buzzard sets out to fly across a mountain range removal site, he's got to pack a lunch, but it's true. They are zones of nothing but barren, dead, lifeless, forevermore moonscapes.
Yeah, and I heard that deer won't even eat the grass, that Chinese grass that they plant there.
No, everything starves and dies. Assuming that there's any deer left, because you got to remember, once they've blown the mountain up and they push the remains of the mountain over into the valley beside it, they kill everything. I mean, can you imagine, Alan? Deer, bears, turkeys, the songbirds, fish in little streams, little native brook trout, everything that is in the way of that gob gets buried alive.
Yeah. They probably do in the springtime, too, when the birds are all nesting.
Sure they do. They don't care. They do it in spring, they do it in winter, they do it in the summer, and they do it in the fall. And they don't give a damn about life because their only concern is money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I stopped in a restaurant yesterday when I was in West Virginia, and they had these little sculptures made out of coal.
Yeah.
And I started talked to this lady about it, and I said, I hope they didn't take off a mountaintop to get this coal, you know, just said it kind of jokingly. And she just, like, changed the subject so fast, like I said something is taboo in that area.
Well, it is. The other night when we were down at Rebecca Chapel in Rock Creek, there was a handful of people wearing their massy, striped work clothes just sort of over across the street at a little general store glowering at us. It has the atmosphere when you go into eastern Raleigh County and Boone County and Logan County around in there. It has the air of it's like a civil war brewing. There are neighbors that don't talk to neighbors anymore. There are churches that have split. The people don't attend organizations they used to attend anymore. It's a hateful thing that this has brought to these communities, because these were some of the most tightly knit communities you could ever hope to find, Alan.
Yeah, all because they probably bring home after taxes $500 working for a coal company, and then after the coal is gone, the mountain's gone. That coal company's not going to have a thing to do with them anymore.
Oh, no. And, I mean, let's be honest. They pay pretty good money to these mountaintop demolition workers. They're not miners, Alan. They'll pay $18, $20, $25 an hour. People make $50,000, $60,000 a year on these mountain range removal jobs, and they have to pay that because otherwise the workers might actually stand up on their hind legs and join a union or not do it. They have to pay a lot of money to get it done, because when you're doing this kind of evil, you've got to pay a lot of money to overcome people's fundamental unwillingness to do harm. So, yeah, you're right. The money's good, but the money doesn't last. And the retirement won't be worth a damn. The health care is no good. And when the coal's played out and the company leaves, there's not going to be any retraining or any community action by the coal company. They'll just disappear like coal companies always do and leave a mess and a lot of destruction and heartbreak behind them. And nothing, I guess the one thing we've got going for us here, Alan, is that we can't grow tumbleweeds, because there'd be nothing left but tumbleweeds like out west.
Yeah, and it really mess up the tourist industry.
Oh yeah, you can't whitewater down coal filth.
Mm-hmm. And go hiking. Who wants to go hiking and look at mountaintops?
Oh no, you're not allowed to hike these mountain range removal sites, because the ground is so unstable that it might open up under you like a crevasse in Antarctica and just, you know, disappear you.
Oh man.
They say, well, you know, you can build a Walmart, you can have a golf course. You can't maintain anything on these things because the ground is fundamentally unstable. Across the river, across the state line in Kentucky, they tried to build a prison a few years ago, a federal prison. Spent buku
jillions of dollars building this thing, and it was the state of the art and highfalutin and gonna, you know, just a model for how you ought to build a prison. And they couldn't get it open because every time once they got it built, the thing started just settling here and settling there, and the foundations would crack. I love the sense of humor of the folks in that region. They got to where they called it Sink Sink.
You know, there's strip mines in Alabama that were dug, I think, like 60, 70 years ago. And mm-hmm. the companies that did it went out of business, so it's just a big eyesore, these old strip mines. I guess these companies would probably go out of business too, huh?
That's exactly what they do. And then they default on their bond, and the bond isn't enough to clean it up in the first place.
So they leave it to the taxpayers.
So the taxpayers get left holding the bill.
I imagine a lot of the same kind of things that's happening in South America, where they're destroying the rainforest. You got the people who are making money off of it, and the workers all for it, and then you got the native people, they're protesting against the destruction of the rainforest, and you got the same kind of atmosphere.
Well, I can't imagine what the coal fields of Colombia must look like. You know, we've been talking about that Drummond Coal Company suit. You know, because there's no environmental regulation down there. The government's bought and paid for. The Colombian government is just a poorly paid subsidiary of the Bush administration, and it has got to be an absolute environmental toxic nightmare. And, you know, with a little murder thrown in just for good measure, so that people will, what's the old saying from before the Civil War? Know their place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
People got to wake up.
They do indeed. And, you know, you drive through it and you see some of, I mean, you see, you know, on that ride from Huntington to Greenbrier County, or the other direction, I'm not sure which way you were going, you see the beauty that can be West Virginia, especially between Beckley and the Virginia border.
It's nice.
Oh, and you know, you're riding. Those hills make me nervous because they got all those warnings for you over-the-road truck drivers, you know, 7% grade, you know, and truck runaway ramps and things like that. Because you're up in some pretty high territory, and you get a whale of a view, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I can see over the bridge railings and really see way down. It looks like I'm in an airplane or something. It's beautiful.
And the thing is, every one of those mountains that you saw, I'm not kidding, Alan. I am not kidding. I repeat, this is not a joke. Every mountain that you saw between Beckley and the Virginia line, some coal company has a plan to blow up.
Oh, shoot.
They're not. This. There's no limitation to this. They're not being responsible stewards. There's no way to responsibly do mountaintop removal. It cannot be done responsibly. And they
what
plan.
Do these people want to do who own these coal companies? They want to make all their money and go live in some kind of retreat somewhere?
Well, understand, first of all, they don't live here.
They don't live on planet Earth, it sounds like.
Well, the coal company monies, and the coal company money flows into New York, and it flows to London, frankly, and it flows to Amsterdam, and the people who are exalted mucky mucks in the company don't live anywhere near the devastation that they cause. The Don Blankenship has a mansion across the river in Kentucky on a mountain where he can look down on all the stuff that he's destroying in West Virginia. But for the most part, they do not live here. They don't live around here. And even a lot of the mountain range removal demolition workers have come here from somewhere else. It's nothing to go to a mountain range removal mine site and see Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina plates.
Just people who know how to drive bulldozers.
Yeah. And they come from right-to-work states because they don't have enough gumption to understand that working non-union means working for less. And I'd like to think, although maybe I'm wrong, I maintain this position that I don't think the UMWA would participate in mountain range removal. They might prove me wrong someday, but I'd like to hope that they wouldn't.
because that's not mine, and that's not the, and it wouldn't be anything. It's not something that the people who built the UMWA, my granddaddy, my great grandfather, John L. Lewis, Bill Buzzard, all the great old guys. It's nothing they'd be proud of, and it's nothing they'd tolerate.
Yeah, I was driving through the backwoods of Alabama one time with a trial lawyer, and he's looking at all these woods through there, beautiful woods, pine forest.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that it was just about all of it in this area around Oneonta, Alabama, was owned by people in London, England, and they didn't pay any taxes on it.
That's right. I mean, I know the pine forest you're talking about, because they stretch across Alabama, and I've
like West Virginia, doesn't it?
Well, we got more hardwood forest up here, but you got those piney woods down there, and having grown up down there, of course, you know, I remember it quite well. But he was right. Out-of-state ownership is a problem there, and it's a problem here. And the taxation on that out-of-state ownership is next to nil. Alabama has... Oh, we lost Alan. Alabama, just by way of information, has, I believe, the lowest property taxes in the country. And I suppose that's great if you're a homeowner, but for the out-of-state owners who own the forests and everything, it means a state that's pauperized. You know, taxes are the price that we pay for civilization. And so every time you hear one of these right-wingers hollering about there's too much taxes, what he's saying is there's too much civilization. And that's just a fact. There's a phrase, and it's been out there for a while, and it's always bothered me, and I've never fully understood or never fully had it gel in my mind until recently what it was that was bothering me about it, and that is this phrase that was ginned up by Ronald Reagan. That's when you first started hearing it. Well, maybe a little bit going back as far as George Wallace, and that is big government, big government. You liberals, you believe in big government. Well, and the light just kind of went on for me the other day. It's a big country. It's a really big country. And a big country probably requires a big government. Because, you see, you can't expect... one little old blue-haired lady GS6 clerk to meet the infrastructure demands of an entire country. You just can't. Big government is a big lie. Big government is a dummied-up, faked-up, ginned-up, frauded-up construction. It is code for the inherent anti-Americanism of the Republican Party. Because they are anti-American. If you are pro-corporation, if you think corporations are the most important thing, then obviously America is not the most important thing. You are therefore anti-American. If you believe that the First Church of Herpetological Apostolic Holiness and Baptism Seminary is the most important thing, then America can't be first for you, and you are therefore anti-American. Big government complaints, we want to cut the size of government, then you want to cut into the heart of America. Because government is a means of responding to the needs of the people, isn't it? After all, it says, we the people. In order to, oh, darn it, establish justice, assure domestic tranquility. I put that on a brain cell that I must have killed at some point. We the people. We the people are the government. The fact that the government is corrupted is not entirely our fault. Did we just sit back and allow corporations to buy away our representation from the people we elect? Maybe. But who showed up with the bags of money? Did we go out and ask the corporations to bribe away our government? The railroad companies and the coal companies and the pharmaceutical industries and the banking industry and the insurance industry and the agricultural industry and the religion industry, did we ask them to buy away our government? No, we did not. It was stolen from us. We, the people, are the victim of a crime. We, the people, are the victim of a larceny. We, the people, are the victim of a burglary. Now, the burglars are clever. The burglars are determined. And the burglars are adept. And they give us a little bit. Just as Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of watery gruel, we have traded ours for digital television. We have traded ours for American Idol. We have traded our birthright for news programs that aren't news. We've traded our birthright for Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith and shark bites and missing white girls in Caribbean islands. We've traded our birthright for the Weakest Link and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And you know what? The people who stole our birthright from us are more than happy to provide us with that crap. And while we soothe our worried, wearied bones by sinking into the nothingness of our celebrity culture, the people who are stealing our government are working 24/7, Sunshine. Let's talk to our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Bob, welcome to the program.
I just asked Agnes a question. Have you ever read Lost History by Robert Perry?
I don't think so.
Maybe you ought to, go online and find it, because it takes you back to the lost history. And it's the Contras, cocaine, the press, Project Truth, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's trying to tell you something. You know, is it a project? What is Project Truth, Bob? What is it?
Offhand, help me out, Bob.
The truth is whatever you make it to be. We're in power now, therefore we write history. Therefore, what we write is truth, is it not?
Yeah. Well, you know, the winners get to write the history for the most
part.
See
how it works. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is a game, and, hey, they're gamesmen. They are perfect. They're better gamesmen than we are, Bob. We have anger. We have rage. We have hatred of their stupidity, but, Bob, it's not stupid what they're doing. It is, it's diabolical what they're doing, but it's not stupid. There's a difference between diabolical and stupid, is there not?
Yes, it is.
And see how diabolical these people are. They are they're the Moriartys of this age. They're the Moriartys. They're the evil doers, like George Bush was so prominent about saying. You know, the evil doers. We're going to get the evil doers on our side. We're not going to give them. We're not getting the evil doers to be prosecuted and put into prison. We're going to get them on our side. You know, get all the evil doers on our side. And hey, they got Dick Cheney, the evilest evildoer of all time. He makes Darth Vader look like a piker, does he not?
Absolutely.
See?
Yeah.
So, there we have our quandary, Bob. What a wonderful person you are, and what a decent wife you have. I think of her, I think of Agnes as my dear Agnes, with all the heart of a lion, all the strength of a mountain, that beautiful mountain you were talking about, that mountain they're trying to drag down. And I think about all those other women out there, you know, and just earlier you were talking about, you know, all these ladies, these women coming up and having the courage to speak the truth, the power. When will we men take the power back? When will we do it? I'm teaching my 13-year-old son how to put three in the bullseye. I'm talking about, you know, beyond the 10 ring, right there in the center.
Yep.
Of the being. I'm teaching it. I swore to God.
Centering it 2 inches high at 100, because that means dead on at 2.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm teaching him to do. But, Bob, I swore when I came out of Vietnam I would never teach my son, my children, to kill. And now I'm teaching him how to, and I'm teaching him daily. And I tell him every day, break out that box of ammo, go outside, and put three in the bullseye. If you have to take 50 to get there till you get to the bullseye, the next day you go out and
shooting open-eyed or with scope?
Oh, scope. Hey, you want to reach out there and touch somebody, don't you?
How did I know?
Yeah, see, you want to reach
3x9?
Huh?
3x9?
3x9?
4.5 by 14, what?
No. We're talking about 4, okay?
Okay.
It's a 4, okay? And we're talking 22. You teach them how to shoot with a 22 rifle. You teach them how to put three in the bowls every time, and then after a while, you just teach them how to shoot that orange right out of the center.
Oh, I've known a couple of good old boys around here that... contrary to most local tradition, do their deer hunting with a .22 because they're that good a shot.
Well, yeah. There are times when if you got to take meat, you don't want to destroy it. You just take a .22 out there and you shoot them in the eye. You shoot them right behind the eye, and it'll take out their brain, and you don't ruin the meat.
And there's no chasing, and yeah.
Yeah, and there's no chasing, it just drops. You just blow the brains out, and the last thing that goes through your mind is, I've lost my mind, right?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that's gone wrong with this nation, with this world. Everybody's lost their mind, Bob. Nobody thinks anymore.
I don't think we lost it. I think we set it aside, Bob. I don't mean to take issue with you.
Okay. No issue. No.
No, but on the part of a lot of America, it is willful. Okay, it is absolutely willful.
It is willful.
But I can't get too angry or upset with people because they're working awful damn hard.
I'm not angry with anyone, Bob. I'm not angry with you or with
no. But I mean, America is hanging on. There's not a person out there going to work every day who doesn't at some point in the day or in some point in the week. I would say no, with no less frequency than once a week, worry about what happens if they lose their job. Job security used to be something that existed in the United States. It existed largely as a function of organized labor. It's gone now. Job security doesn't exist. America lives paycheck to paycheck, one payday away from disaster. And so when they get a chance that they're not working and they're not worrying themselves into an early grave, they want to put it all away, and they want to watch something meaningless. Whether it's waiting to find out if a heinous piece of crap like Barry Bonds breaks Hank Aaron's home run record, or whether whether Beckham's ankle's going to be okay for the L.A. Galaxy soccer season, or who's going to win Nashville Star or American Idol,
or get a new nose on.
Hilton got out of jail.
Yeah, right. And they, I mean, that's put there deliberately for people to get away from themselves. Because we as a people in America, Bob, have gotten to a point where I think the one defining thing about us is that we don't like living in our own skin.
Bob, I love your skin. I ain't met you, but I think you're the pinkest man I've ever talked to.
I glow, I burn under a refrigerator light bulb, Bob.
There
I truly
you
do.
See, you know, and you're the first man that admitted that to me. I'm not a white man. I'm a pink man, and yeah, I burn under the sun, and I got, occasionally I got this tan on me, but I've got my black African-American brothers out there. I have them out there, and I know them. I fought with them.
This is not about
canteen cup as they drank out of.
Yeah, this is not about skin color. This is the if anything, it's about, because it transcends everything. It transcends gender. It transcends sexuality. It transcends race. It transcends age. America is a nation of people who have been scared into submission.
No. You know what America is? America is a group of individuals that have been transformed into a group of people that believe they are. What was that thing that I heard the other night? We are the world. We are the American. Is that empire thing? Is it not? We are the deep.
And empire. And that's the thing.
Not the Democrats or the Republicans. We are. We're kind of an empire. We're kind of like the last empire on earth. Like we're supposed to be something special. Like the United States. The United States is special. What did we do to the indigenous people of this nation that we speak of, huh?
Sure.
What did we do to them? What did the Germans do to the Jews, huh? What did we do to the indigenous people of the United States of America? We slaughtered them, Bob. And we were relentless, and we took down the Great Sioux Nation, and we turned it into what? A few casinos in North Dakota and Montana and maybe down there in Wyoming. You know, we turned them into a few casinos, the Great Sioux Nation, and all we had to do was kind of sacrifice General Custer to get this, the Black Hills. They're precious. That was a sacred land to them. The Black Hills of South Dakota were a sacred place, and we desecrated it. And on top of that mountain, up there where that Wild Bill Hickok was shot in the back. Thank God he was shot in the back. I mean, you know, good God, if they shot him in the front, he might have, died a hero. But he died being shot in the back. But on top of that mountain, Bob, there is a great big hole, a huge gold mine that they're still digging today to dig out the little precious nuggets of Black Hills gold that they can sell to the stupid tourists.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's the same kind of black gold they're digging out of your hill by destroying your mountains. It's just a little strip of crap that they're, wrapping their minds around, Bob.
Oh,
they don't even realize their minds are so far beyond anything that could be called stupid. They are numb, Bob. They're like the dentist sticks a needle in your tooth and makes your mouth feel like it just doesn't exist anymore. Well, these people's brains have been nullified. They're just, they got so much Novocaine stuck in their brain by listening to Fox News or MSNBC or...
Oh, I know. I caught Matt Groening, the guy who does The Simpsons.
Yeah.
He was on The Daily Show a few nights ago.
And he told Jon Stewart that they did one show where they jokingly did a Fox News, you know, the crawler that runs along the bottom of the screen. They jokingly did a Simpsons episode with that Fox News crawler, and Fox got hold of them and said, "You will never, ever do that again." And Groening and his people said, "Well, why not?" And they said, "Because it might confuse Fox viewers, and they might think it's real."
But it is the same thing. It's the same thing, Bob. You know, it's like this. You know, we talk about dumbing down America. America is so stupid. And I listen to I grudgingly call him a brother of mine, but he said he had 23 years in the Army and he had been everywhere, done everything. And then he went on to bolster this Bush war and to talk about how, you know, yeah, well, if they give the troops an order, they have to follow the order and all that stuff. Did you hear that episode?
No, I don't think so.
You should go back on the net and you do have NOVAM, don't you?
I listen to Mike usually the last hour every night because you know we've got Peter's show going here.
I realize that. Hey, Peter is a friend. I will call him a friend. Sometimes when you disagree with a friend, you kind of push him the other way to see how far he can ruffle his feathers. And I'm sorry, I did. I did that to my friend Peter. But I will say this to Peter Godblood: you are a good human being, and you are a friend of mine, and I respect you more than you will ever know. I mean,
well, this is Peter's program is a perfect addition to the Horn because it's once again a manifestation of everything that we want the Horn to be.
The truth, Bob, that's all the Horn has to be. It doesn't have to be whether or not...
You know, I'll be honest with you, Bob. I'm not so crazy about the word truth. I'm more concerned with facts.
Facts, okay.
Because you know, the right-wing religion industry and the conservatives will tell you that they are just up to their eyeballs in truth.
Okay, my bad.
No. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just drawing a distinction
right
here, Bob.
Bob. No, I'm pointing it out to you. You are... more correct than I am, okay? You are more correct than I am because
this is
a thing of facts, and what Peter speaks is the facts, and what you speak are facts, and what our good friend down under speaks is the facts. You know, you put the facts out there, and these people, they just don't want to hear it because they got their own ideas. Well, I'm going to tell you people, if you think that you're smarter than Bob Kincaid and you got your facts in the row, well, bring it on. You know, come on, let's do a Bushy thing here, Bob. Let's bring it on. Okay, if you got all your facts, you got all your ducks in a row, bring them on, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because they can't face you, because every time they do, they turn into some frothing at the mouth, some rabid little right winger. Every time, and they got all these truths, like I said, the truth. They got their truth, but their truth is a lie. And you're right about that. There's a difference between fact and truth. And truth can be anything you want it to be, but a fact is a fact. And Bob, you hit the nail on the head. You dang near blew the dang orange spot out at 100 yards.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much, my friend. We've got to roll on. I got a couple of callers I got to hit before the top of the hour.
Get it done.
All right, then.
Our friend, that what is that guy, that other right-winger out there, that Larry the Cable Guy?
Ew.
Get her done.
Yeah, it gives me the fan tods.
Yeah, well, I just had to throw that out.
I know, Bob. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay, good
later.
Night, my friend.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And on to our good friend David in Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
You know, Bob, if the Democrats don't stand up, since you mentioned the Simpsons, I'm going to feel like Mr. Burns when he's looking at the ketchup and he says, ketchup or catsup? Ketchup or catsup?
Yeah, we keep two bottles here, David.
That's what I mean.
Just when I'm in a wild catsup kind of mood.
Well, you know, to lighten the mood, I've picked a story that I don't think has been covered on this program.
Okay.
And I think it's a good one. Billionaire sought secret lair for sex drugs, complaint says. Flush with wealth from Broadcom Corp's 1998 public stock offering, computer chip magnate Henry T. Nicholas III made a few additions to his equestrian estate in Laguna Hills. Hidden doors and secret levers, an underground grotto, tunnels, and a 2,000-square-foot sports bar called Nick's Cafe. But there was more. According to a claim made in court documents, plans for a secret and convenient lair with hidden entries for Nicholas to indulge his manic obsession with prostitutes and addiction to cocaine and ecstasy. Now, this guy, do you have any idea how much money this guy spent on this lair?
Oh, but the thing is, do you have any idea how much money this guy has?
I know, but...
But, yeah, that stuff doesn't come cheap.
Okay, the funny thing is, he spent, I kid you not, people, $30
million. $30
million? $30 million building this lair. He had a $1 million sound system. This was his excuse when people in the blueprints, they asked him, and you know, it's just, you know, it's not intended to be a pun, but I think I need a Freudian slip. They asked him, what is this place for? And he said, oh, it's just a pump house.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a pump house, all right.
Yeah. I know. And the
and we lubricate the pump with KY jelly.
And his wife said, I didn't know that chamber was that big. She had no idea.
I thought
idea.
He was working on his model railroad.
Yeah, something like that. And the picture, when I send you the picture, you're just going to laugh because it's like, how can you trust this guy? And here's the crazy thing about it. This is how sleazy this guy is. You know how he built this without his wife finding out? He took her to a trip on Hawaii. And he told the workers, you have to get this chamber done in a week, or I'm not paying.
He's a multimillionaire, and he can't even do 2 weeks in Hawaii?
I know. I think he didn't think it through. I mean, he was flying across...
Well, so how did he wind up in court, David?
Well, one of the assistants was complaining and said, was talking about what this lair was for, and... You know, his wife, I guess, found out. He caught his wife. Actually, what started is his wife caught him with a prostitute.
Oops!
In the hidden lair. I guess he left the lever open.
You know, you've just got this image going through my head of the opening credits to Get Smart. You know, with the phone booth and the door and the yeah.
You have to see. There's a picture of him, and he has this grin on his face, and he's like presenting it to you, and you see the levers on the side and the stairway. And he's looking like nothing's going on here. I mean, like he actually gave a tour to the place in like 2002, I guess. But
well, he's got a sports bar down there. Does he? What does he have? A captive bartender who never gets to leave?
I think he has a DJ there too. I'm not kidding.
Jesus. I mean, now okay. I've had my fantasies, David.
Yeah, I know.
I once upon a time I dreamed that I would have some palatial estate with this, you know, and I'd have this killer sound system and an
right.
Oak-paneled library with a secret button lever, and the books would slide away, and the bar would come out, and we'd have 150-year-old bottles of scotch. You know, the kind of daydreaming that a 25-year-old guy does.
This is how he got the construction done. I'll just quote this.
But
part.
I never wanted to bury it underground.
I know. Why?
I wanted to invite people to
why
it.
Why wouldn't you just, I mean, like...
Who weren't hookers.
Like, I heard this from the Young Turks. Like, Jang from the Young Turks says, why wouldn't you just go to Las Vegas? Why build it under your house?
Because you want to own it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a mindset at work there, David.
I know. The construction team accused Nicholas of failing to pay millions of dollars for work performed between April 1998 and April 2002. Nicholas was...
So he's a cheapskate, too.
Yeah, Nicholas was said to have used manipulation, lies, intimidation, and even death threats to pressure nearly every contractor and vendor on the project to perform extra work without pay, quote, at warp speed.
At warp speed. Well, there is our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening.
I know. But, and remember, he was just building a pump house.
Yeah, pump house.
Are we out of time now?
No. You're fine. No, it's a pump house with a subwoofer the size of a Volkswagen.
Right. I just wanted to lighten the mood with that story.
Yeah, well, very good.
I thought that was interesting in the fact
that... Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, I mean...
perverted.
But then again, it points to a bigger thing where, you know, we're giving too much money to these people, and it just makes them go insane.
It makes me wonder what's underneath Don Blankenship's house.
Like I told Agnes on the phone, I said, why couldn't the whole majority of the Republicans and Dick Cheney have been in that sex affair on the guest list?
They probably have been.
Maybe.
Dick's just had it purged. You know, he's got this thing about lists.
Right. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the technology story that no one's talking about. Do you know about Jeff Hahn?
No. Help me.
Jeff Hahn is a New York University computer scientist, and he's built a draft board that's multi-touch interface. Now, this is the amazing thing.
Oh, for like CAD and stuff? Or
It goes beyond that, Bob. It's from a company called Perceptive Pixel. And what's amazing about it is this draft board interacts with touch on several different levels, not just it's interactive in the point where, okay, let me see if I can describe it. Google Earth, you don't need an interface. This is the future. I've seen the future. You don't need a keyboard. You don't need a mouse. The interface is built inside it. And what he does and what he's able to do with it is astounding. You can literally, when you use Google Earth, you can literally just scan the globe using your finger.
Oh wow!
And then the great thing about it is that you can actually can draw on a board. This is great for designers. You can draw on a board. You can draw a design you want, and you can kinetically move the animation so it'll animate right in front of you.
Oh geez. You know, you saw Minority Report, didn't you?
That's what I thought of when I saw
it. That's where he's standing there and he's just with the fingers and the.
And what's amazing is in the Wired interview, they pressure him like, who are his clients, and he says, we've been doing them ourselves. When you ask him who's manufacturing, as we're ramping up, we're outsourcing production. These are unique individual installations for really high-end clients, mostly defense, I'll be honest. What's the use in defense? And he says, anytime you have this command and control situation or you need to get up lots of data, the military has a big problem right now. They have all this data. They have automated drones flying around with video cameras, all providing video feeds. They have satellites flying around all the time taking images of everything, and it's hard to sort through them now. So they need tools to help manage this huge, huge influx of photographs and other kinds of reconnaissance. And then he says, what branch of the defense is using this? And he says, I'm not sure I can say. Not even to say which branch.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Is it one of those things?
He says it. He says, intelligence, CIA, we shipped to them at the end of last year, and we shipped some more this year. Mapping things, when they call geo-referencing stuff, a lot of data, whether it's imagery or other kinds of things, really well when it's geographically laid out. I'm talking about imagery, statistics, incidents, and other things that open around the globe. And, you know, what's sad to me about that is I think we know what they're used for. They're used for optimizing targets.
Sure.
And that point to me hits home of maybe this guy doesn't realize it, but for years and years, that's going to be his only clients with something like that. For years and years, the defense clients, well, you might have a few high-end defense, you might have a few high-end designers in California or New York, but for the rest of the United States.
Well, you remind me of something, David. And that is I forget who it was that said it on this program. It might have been you. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, we would have had digital photography 20 years ago, had it not been classified as secret technology by the federal government. And this isn't tinfoil helmet stuff. That technology existed for satellite photography purposes, but it was classified information. You know, this stuff has real world applications. I mean, it has real world. My God, you think somebody who's trying to do climate modeling
could use something like this.
Right, exactly.
But from what you're telling me, it sounds like it will not reach the market for that.
It won't reach the market for a while because, you know, he's limited.
Because it's been classified.
Edition.
It's been classified.
No. I mean, not the draft boards itself. I mean, you can actually go to conventions and see it used, and I mean,
But the proprietary technology within it, sure.
But what I mean is that it's going to be expensive if you want to get your hands on it. But you can, you know, you can call them up and say, I want that drafting board or whatever, but they're going to charge you an arm and a leg and then some for it. And the thing I wonder about it when I read that, I was like, I wonder if Mr. Hahn, when we do, because I don't know yet, but it's looking that way, if we do start World War III, I wonder if he's going to be thinking when the whole Middle East ignites into one giant flame across the...
Hey, I made that a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, that would weigh heavy on my conscience.
Well, and that's the cool thing, David. You've still got one, my friend.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do, and I mean, I just think, you know, they're better.
But we don't. But people do have a conscience. God knows, work in America has a conscience. But what we do is, you're right. We mask it, or we bury it, and
or we just say, or this is the other option. This is what happens when you talk to a conservative who has a quote unquote conscience. He says, well, the whole thing's going down anyway. You know, it's hopeless. We're a hopeless race, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand it to that extent.
Yeah, I guess that's what, fatalism?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's still a responsibility tied to it of all the people.
Hey, you want some irony, David?
Yeah.
I was just, I check email periodically through the show, and in the course of this conversation, I just got a piece of spam trying to hustle me $129.95 Autodesk AutoCAD.
Speaking of...
you think Agent Fred's listening?
Maybe. Speaking of technology, what did you think of that UMA article I sent you?
Oh,
I want one.
Yeah, Agnes
wants
one.
You want one?
Yeah.
Do you think that will really help out? For those who don't know, UMA is a new type of phone technology for the Internet access, but here's the kicker. Anyone can use it and communicate. You don't need to have Skype to Skype. You can literally communicate around the globe with it.
It's I'm going to have to find the link and put it up there so other folks can see it, because it's a fascinating extension of the technology.
I mean, it's going where Skype didn't go, and also...
Well, Skype got bought by what? eBay?
Right.
So Skype's development will end.
But the thing that makes me curious about the UMA thing is the fact of they've got their seed money in order. I think they have like something like $30 million or something.
Yeah.
They have $30 million backing them. So, you know, and then they're going to have orders. And I mean, I like the slogan where they say you own the dial tone forever. That's going to scare the phone company, Bob.
Well, the phone company deserves to be scared.
Oh, I know.
You bring up another topic that... I mean, how can I put this, David? I don't mind paying for value.
Right.
I object profoundly at being ripped off. And the fact of the matter is, you know, we've got toll-free dialing here, right? So that it doesn't cost long distance for somebody to call the program.
Mm-hmm.
But from the technology standpoint, the cost is the same for a call from here to my next-door neighbor or a call from here to Kuala Lumpur. Cost is the same.
They give you disrespect instead of respect.
Right, and as a consequence, we're bringing new service in. We hope it's going to be in next week. It's going to be a dramatic boost for our bandwidth. It's going to be a humongous boost for our phone costs. It's part of, you know, what we've been doing in terms of, we're trying to cut our costs at the same time that we're raising funds so people will get better value out of the money that they put forward to help the network. And you know, the company that we're going with, I don't mind telling anybody, we're
right.
very proud of them. We're going to be advertising for them because we're getting a little bit of a price break.
Right.
They're called CityNet. And they are a company that was formed by an alumnus of my alma mater, West Virginia University. It's a privately held corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of trying to, you know, get into the New York market or the Philadelphia market or Boston or Chicago or blah, 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 they realized that there was a lot of money to be made by serving communities that were being ignored by other companies. And so they started out doing ISP stuff, and they've expanded into telephony. Now, we're going to be able to, and the fact of the matter is, we're going to have unlimited long distance, so I can call out.
That's good.
And whereas right now, if I pick up my Verizon line and I make a long distance call, whether it's long distance to Beckley or long distance to Miami, it's 5.9 cents a minute. And that's five. Yeah, it is ridiculous, David, because it's 5.9 cents a minute that those SOBs aren't earning because it doesn't cost them anything.
That's true. I mean, it is one big scam after another scam. And I mean, that's why they have a network or a labyrinth of phone operators, so you'll never.
Exactly. I mean, this is all circuitry. There's no woman with a thing on a headset and a man. One moment, please. You know, that's all gone.
You know, I just like,
that was the reason for long distance charges, was because you had human beings that you had to pay to patch the calls.
I'd like to give a warning to people regarding operators. And one thing that I like to say about PayPal, if you're on eBay, people, if you're moving a lot of weight, what I mean, a lot of product and stuff, don't do PayPal, because there are so many loopholes. They will get you. They are mercenaries. And I'm telling you this straight up. They will not take responsibility if you take a hit on your thing. They will not. You will get stonewalled after stonewalled, and there's nothing you can do. You can look in their charter, and in their rules and regulations, and in their laws. It's in the fine print. So, the best thing to do if we have entrepreneurs out there moving stuff on the internet, get yourself a server. Get yourself a server work and actually take credit card information and pay the toll for it. That's just my advice for that one.
Well, you know, we're going to try to expand some of that, because I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like PayPal. And right now, that's how we've got our revenue stream set up. But we're also adding a snail mail address for people who would prefer to use that.
Well, you see, PayPal does all right in bytes. You know, it's like a lot of things. It does all right in bytes. I use it frequently. I like it. But as a seller on eBay, every time you're rolling the dice, people. Every time you can literally lose your business using PayPal.
Wow.
I just thought I'd put that out.
I think we're just going to have to officially make you the technology correspondent. it doesn't come with a salary, I have to warn you.
So just to wrap it up, on the when you read the UMA thing, does that interest you any more into that, or?
I'm very much interested, because I think one of the things that we need to do in terms of expanding the accessibility of the programming. Well, how can I put this, David? I've got a to-do list that's as long as my arm.
Right.
Right now, based on what has happened to us recently, and I'm not trying to bore anybody, but I want people to see where we want to go. We're not content with the way things are as they stand. I've got a to-do list. My to-do list includes, A, building a better studio with more room. My favorite analogy for that is, if you look up Muscle Shoals Music, Muscle Shoals Sound, you'll see this little tiny cinder block building that says 3614 Jackson Highway. Some of the best music ever recorded on Earth was recorded in that little cinder block building, but eventually it got too small. The same thing is happening here. We've got to get a bigger building. We've got to, and we'll have to finish it, furnish it, soundproof it and everything. But after that happens, then we start talking about, I'd like to have a server on premises here for purposes of dealing with not just telephony, but the things like Skype and be able to take calls that way too. I want, because one of the things, it's A, making the program as accessible as humanly possible for all listeners, but B, also pressing the envelope.
Right.
Of what is available in terms of creating this discussion, this dialogue, this discourse. I can envision a day, and I don't know how it happens, but, you know, that's my job as a visionary. I don't have the tech part. I just have the visions. You know,
right.
A couple of mushrooms, and here come the visions. But I can envision a day when the conversations that take place on this program with technology that pretty much already exists, people listening to the program can see your face and see my face as we talk.
Mm.
I can envision a chat room that has talking faces in it and not just type. And I want to push us toward that place because nobody else is doing it. You know, that's the genius of what's going on here. And I'm not saying I'm a genius, David, but I'm saying that because we're small,
right?
We have nothing to lose in trying to imagine imagineer, if you will, whatever we want the horn to be. You know, so to have something like that would be simply amazing. Frankly, one of the things, I'll be honest, I don't get the idea of video of talk radio shows. I don't know why Rush has a Ditto cam, but probably that's somewhere we're going in the future as well.
It seems to me when you guys start getting, when you start getting rolling in terms of like funding and cash and just kind of just overall profit, you know, that drafting board of that multi-touch interface would be right up your alley.
Oh my God, yes, it would.
I don't know how much it costs. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, I'm guessing we can't afford one. We can't afford the bring it here on wheels building that we need for the studio right now.
Right.
I priced one of those earlier today, and all the blood drained out of my face. But that's where we're going, and because we're not gonna rest on our laurels here. There's too much technology that we can leverage, and there's too much way cool stuff that we can access to make this a totally interactive experience. All we've got to do is dream it and then do it.
I hear you on that one.
I mean, do you think that's too far out there, David?
No, I don't think it's too far out. The only thing I say is I pray that they don't shut the grid down. That's what I pray.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's
and that's all there is to it.
Well, you know, I mean, we got shut down by lightning storms yesterday.
I heard about that.
Because until this new line comes in, I'm not going to trust Verizon not to blow the snot out of my Comrex unit again.
Right. Well, you know, some things happen for a reason. I never got to catch that that Warren Zevon, the Crystal Zevon hour. So.
Oh darn.
I was able to catch it this week.
Oh well, wonderful, cool.
Because if you go to White Rose, it would be a lot of searching, you know.
No, all you got to do is know the date.
Yeah, that too.
And you can probably find that by searching through the show posts at headonradionetwork.com.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
David, you're so high-tech, you can't see the forest for the trees, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't think the board went back that far.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
All right.
All right. Good talking to you, David. Have a wonderful night, all right?
All right, Bob. You too.
Bye now.
Later.
You know, we've been having some audio problems with QNN and stuff, so we'll just shoot straight to the next phone call. Preston's calling from Denver. He's been waiting a little bit. I'm sorry about that, Preston.
That's okay.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm getting by. You know, the lightning's gone. Yesterday it looked like an 800-mile gun barrel, and we were at the muzzle end of it.
Wow.
We had a lightning storm yesterday. The likes of, you know, we've been living here for almost 10 years, and it was the likes of which I've never seen around here.
Wow, interesting.
In fact, we got our studio, not the computer monitors, but the sound monitors, they got cooked. So, you know, never a dull moment.
No doubt. I remember one of the most powerful thunderstorms I was ever in was in South Dakota, kind of near Wounded Knee, that area.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. The power of it all is something else. I was so happy to hear your to-do list, and I hope in the future you're not hesitant to talk about that stuff that you're planning for the station. And
well, see, I know, Preston, to be totally candid, one of the problems with doing this show is that I never know when I'm boring you guys, and I'd rather shoot myself in the foot than be boring. So, you know, if I talk about this kind of stuff, I never know if people are going, oh, yeah, he's prattling on again. But, you know, I have such dreams for what's happening here. And everybody associated with this has such vision that I believe that there's nothing we can't accomplish.
I think you're right. And so often, you know, we're sharing the nightmares, and we need to look at them. You know, so often we're talking about what's being done to us instead of what we can do. and sort of the negative scenarios. But, you know, it's important to share the dreams as well, definitely. Like the previous caller was just alluding to that attitude of, oh, you know, it's all so screwed, it's all going down anyway, what can you do? That's the very politically powerful attitude that neutralizes a lot of people.
Yeah, it just sucks the life right out of them.
Yep. So I think it's key that we talk about our own power, you know, not just the power of Fox News Network and all of them, but the networks that we have going on, which are very impressive, actually. In fact, I was just at a website called Irregular News, irregularnews.com, and they have a listing of each state, and you click on the state, and it lists all the progressive organizations, at least that they know of in that state. And I was just looking at West Virginia, and it was like West Virginia Peace and Pocahontas Citizens for Peace, West Virginia Human Rights Commission, Three Rivers Avian Center.
Oh, and you want to talk about a wonderful place. We've got friends who are associated with that, Preston.
Okay.
They do amazing things with next to nothing. I know of stories where they have rehabilitated eagles.
Great.
And set them back into the wild. And to go to that avian center is just a mind-blowing experience.
Great. Great. But as you mentioned, another good organization, something, the Coal River Mountain Watch.
Yes.
Now, that's not on the list. I imagine they'd welcome to be listed. And I want to suggest to you, they also have a listing of progressive sources of news and information from West Virginia. I don't know if you've heard of these, but Raging Red, Graffiti.
Oh, well, Graffiti used to be a really, really cool alternative weekly.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they got sold to a newspaper outfit out of Utah that has just destroyed it.
That's a shame.
It is. In fact, the publisher of Graffiti is a friend of mine, and he just got to the point where he couldn't carry it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And that happens, you know. That's going to be part of this struggle, this process of progressive work. You know, there are going to be losses, and projects do end at some point, but I think Head On Radio definitely deserves a listing here at this irregularnews.com. And anyway, what else? Oh, I wanted to mention the taxes issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting what the corporatists have done with that mantra. What they've been doing is say, you know, money that is potentially controlled by the public, you know, at least in theory, that we could be doing social spending with, is the bad money. The good money is what they get, the privatized money. The money, they don't talk about the rates of, like, credit cards, you know?
Right.
Always big taxes, not big credit card interest rates or big credit card fees.
You know where I think they took the mantra from, Preston?
Where's that?
It used to be once upon a time that populist Democrats would run for office and they would talk about the perils of big business.
Hmm.
You never, ever, ever hear that phrase anymore.
Right.
And the way that that phrase was taken out of the political lexicon was to replace it and bury it with this concept of big government.
There it is, exactly. There's an old FDR acceptance speech at one of his inaugurations where he talks about how the princes of capital are taking other people's money and enriching themselves, you know, something like that. And that phrase, other people's money, is another one that they've picked up. And, again, turned it towards the people's government and away from themselves.
And, you know, it goes all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, unless this is an apocryphal statement, Preston. I ran across one the other day where he said, I think in 1864, I have the South in front of me and the bankers behind me, and I'm a lot more worried about the bankers.
Right.
And, you know, I think his worries were well placed. He saw, Lincoln did, for all his faults, and they were legion, he saw what was going to come out of the Civil War. He saw the trans in trying to, quote-unquote save the Union, he saw what had the transformation that had taken place inside the government in that process. They say the Civil War is the first modern war. You know, there was an aerial component, there was electronic communication, and there was trench warfare, and there was mass rapid transit.
Exactly, the first industrialized warfare.
And as a consequence of all of that being brought together, I think Lincoln was able to see what a little bit of what the nation was going to be transformed into coming out of it, because they had had to bring to bear so much corporate strength in order for the North to beat back the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he manifested in a few statements the fear he had for the Republic, because you know Lincoln had been a railroad company lawyer, which is not exactly out there doing God's work in 1850.
Right. Right.
Some.
But you can learn a lot though from being within the system. You know, I mean, like Thomas Jefferson too, being a slave owner, yet. You know, we need those people. You know, he gets labeled a hypocrite for being against slavery while owning slaves, but it's often people within the system that we really need to be questioning it and trying to reform it.
And just the same with the mountaintop removal issue, Preston. There are people the movement now that are trying to end it who came to the conclusion that it had to end precisely because they had worked within it and they had seen what it's done.
Okay.
Some very, very committed people within the movement have worked on mountaintop removal operations and came home and looked at their children or their grandchildren and saw them sick and unable to go to school from the crap they were having to breathe.
Yep.
And that was the very genesis of one of the other programs that is going in this area, a little something called Pennies of Promise. Trying to raise money to build a new school for kids at Marsh Fork. I think our good friend Wayne a couple of nights ago mentioned the fact that Don Blankenship pumped $3 or $4 million into an election cycle trying to buy himself a legislature when that same amount of money would have paid to build a new safe school for the children at Marsh Fork and bought him goodwill that he could not otherwise obtain. But he's so short-sighted, so mean-spirited, and so utterly, absolutely, repugnantly hateful that he couldn't see the benefit of that.
Right. You know, and that line about, you know, we got to have the jobs. It's such a deception. You know, there are so many ways we can use wealth, create jobs, ecotourism, that avian center. I'm sure they know plenty of people who take bird watchers out.
Mm-hmm.
They look at birds and, you know, they buy binoculars and cameras to do this hobby, which a lot of people do around this country. You know, people who do rafting in rivers or fishing and, you know, all sorts of things that can generate revenue.
Generate revenue, generate interest, and generate a much smaller footprint here.
Yep.
I mean, that's not to say it doesn't have to all be the tourism or whitewater rafting or some of the things that you mentioned, which are wonderful. But even those organizations have a long way to go because, frankly, most of these whitewater companies, to be quite honest with you, Preston, take a lot out of the community and give virtually nothing back.
Yeah.
You know, it's $11 million or so a year. And certainly a lot of the whitewater industry is within 5 miles of where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
They've never built a community center. They've never put up a swimming pool. They've never built a wellness center. They've done nothing for the communities in which they operate.
No donations to the library?
Some, not much.
Yeah, and they might be very specific as to what they want that donation to go towards, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's about community activism. It's about talking to these people. But by the same token, as long as West Virginia is a poisoned place, and there in Colorado, you know, you've got some of the same issues. You've got rocky flats Rocky Flats would, you know, you can't walk into that and not walk out glowing green.
Exactly.
But so what has to happen here? You know, We are not going to have any of this economic change, Preston, until we are off of the coal dole, if you will. Why should a software company locate here when it's going to bring educated people who are doing high-tech jobs and have families? Why would it locate to a place that's poisoned?
Right. You know, that's another thing beyond creating jobs. You know, the land for so many people for so long has been just life-sustaining in and of itself. You know, you don't have to get a paycheck, and you don't have to clock in, and you can hunt, and you can fish, and you can pick berries and mushrooms.
But we can't eat the fish now, Preston.
I know. And you know what their philosophy is for so many of the corporatists? No free lunch. And they mean it.
Yeah.
No free lunch.
Yeah, for us. For them, it's all free lunch.
Yep. That's right.
You know, you talk about, you know, berries and things like that, and this is, I live right smack dab in the middle of an area that was self-sustaining, I can drive 5 miles out the road I live on, and I can look at a 200-acre farm that produced wheat, corn, barley, oats, rye, grapes, peaches, pears, apples, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, that had a spring house for the milk. That a couple of generations of my forebears grew up on, and basically all they had to do was trade for their shotgun shells, fishing line, cloth for clothing. It was the epitome of sustainability.
Uh-huh.
But it's such an interconnected system. Now I'm gonna take this forward to the present again. You know how many honeybees I've seen in my yard this year?
If you're like a lot of people, not very many.
Three.
Okay.
Three. That's not a good sign.
No, it's not. Einstein said something about that. You know, be careful if you're in a society and bees start to collapse. You know, they're bellwether.
Yeah, you're on the way to starvation.
So.
But the thing is, we don't, I say we don't, and I guess that's kind of a BS indictment. We don't spend enough time worrying about this stuff. Now, if I say to Bill Rainey from the Coal Association, I'm worried about the honeybees, he's going to say, you tree hugger, don't you understand we're talking about economic growth?
Yep. That's right.
You know, and I want to look at him and go, you know, you dumbass, don't you realize that we're worrying about you being able to eat?
Yep.
You know, I've got another story sitting here that I will not get to. You know, this show is more about the stories I don't do than the ones I do.
Yeah, we have Newmont Mining is the massive transnational mining firm here based here in Denver. And, yeah, they're doing all kinds of damage. Of course, they're trying to bust into every last bit of Native American land that they have left.
Oh, the Western Shoshone people?
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
They go to Peru, make life hell.
The Republican Congress in 2004 actually legislated the treaty rights of the Western Shoshone away and took their sacred ground from them because they had heard that there was a little bit of gold under them thar hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting.
Yep. And then you start critiquing this stuff, and they've, again, that attitudinal training. You know, beyond the propaganda, the misinformation, the marginalized information, the attitude training that's been done on so much of this population, it has people dismissing critiques like this as anti-American, which is so inaccurate in so many ways. I mean, we're not the ones with the offshore bank accounts in the Bahamas to avoid paying taxes to our country. You know, we're not the ones with the factories in Ciudad Juarez, in those maquiladoras, to avoid U.S. labor laws and U.S. environmental laws and U.S.
workers. Or the trusts. Look up, there's something out there, I think it's referred to as a Blatmacher trust. That's Blattmacher, a Blatmacher trust.
Okay.
Look up one of those things and see if you don't want to scream. It reduces the tax liability of a billionaire to literally less than that of the tax rate of a person who's working full time making minimum wage.
Okay.
And I found out about it in a great book that ought to be required reading for anybody who gives a damn, called Perfectly Legal by David K. Johnston.
Yeah.
I think it's out of print now, but I was kindly provided with a copy by one of the listeners, and I'm rereading it, and it just, you know, I have to read it with a glass of ice water and a bottle of aspirin next to me.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me want to scream.
I heard him interviewed, actually, a couple times, including on the Al Franken show. Very, very interesting work, for sure. Very helpful. And speaking of interesting books, I just discovered one on Amazon. It's not quite out yet, but you might want to keep an eye out for it. It's called Moving Mountains, How One Woman and Her Community Won Justice from Big Coal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you happen to recall the author's name?
Yes. I'm on Amazon right now, and I'm looking at it, and it's by Penny Loeb.
Okay. I'm thinking she might have been at the Kathy Mattea appearance last week in Charleston.
Oh, great. Good for Kathy Mattea.
Because I heard someone say, and her book is coming out next month, and pointed to this one lady. I'd just about bet you that we're talking about the same person.
Yeah. And it says in the little write-up, it says that the story centers on the efforts of Patricia Bragg. I don't know if you've heard that name, but...
That's an old West Virginia name.
Okay. But she was able to get a two-year moratorium on mountaintop removal. Later it was overturned, but still... threw some grains of sand in the machine in a beautiful
way. Well, see, that's the problem we have here. We have won court cases. We, you know, because I was such an important part of it, and I'm an egomaniac. No, there are a lot of committed people have put a lot of time into beating Big Coal, and they've won about three. They've won three cases, if I'm thinking correctly, that were out and out victories had in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of West Virginia. They were extremely well reasoned opinions, and they went up on appeal to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is controlled by a bunch of filthy Bush cronies. And overturned.
Yeah. Okay. But I guess there was some reform in how they did the mining. Again, it's not nearly enough, but there was some more lasting success in that regard, at least according to this book. And yeah, definitely keep an eye out for it. And
I will, and I'll try to get her on the show as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Definitely. Actually, another book, I was listening to an author today on NPR. And, you know, it definitely has shortcomings, that institution, but they're doing some good work.
Oh, I like them. I like them. I joke a little bit, but I know.
Yeah.
You know, I could listen to Terry Gross, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And some of the other programs are just genius as well.
Have you caught something called The World?
Oh, yes.
I like that a lot, too. And, again, some of its politics kind of, sometimes I'm kind of disappointed, can be very centrist, but... they're doing a lot of stuff culturally. You know, the music they'll play, the musicians around the world, and the artists, and the chefs, and, you know, they're, I think, having a very civilizing effect on its audience in many ways. So
The World, which is, I guess, a conjoined production between Public Radio Boston and the BBC.
Uh-huh.
Another program I love is Living on Earth. Because the problem, Preston, is that you cannot talk with any degree of authority or expertise on these issues and do it in a minute and 28 second package on All Things Considered.
Right.
These are heady issues and they are complex issues, and it takes somebody who can sort of spread it out on the table and turn the cards one by one until you see what the hand looks like. And Living on Earth, from an environmental standpoint, does a beautiful job with that.
Yeah, it sure does. Today's interview was great. It was by an author. He wrote a book called How to Pick a Peach. Mm. And he's a big fan of, like, farmers markets. You know, talk about worthwhile economies, enriching economies. These farmers markets, and you know, they're discussing some of the drawbacks of these huge agribusiness firms. You know, that's another thing going on with our invasions. We're not just seizing oil resources or seizing control of them. We're also imposing particular, you know, we've spoken about this before, the agriculture system of their liking, and
making Iraqi farmers who've been planting variations on the same wheat for 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years, making them switch over to GM wheat by Monsanto and mandating it in law,
right, and requiring that they use all these pesticides and herbicides and fungicides. Again, it's a war on nature, and you know, in fact, all those pesticides, that industry comes right out of World War One.
Sure, it does. It comes right out of where I grew up in Alabama. The development of nitrogen-based fertilizers that were an outgrowth of what do we do with these industries now that we're not making bombs out of the nitrates anymore.
Exactly. Amazingly, I was happy to read, I forgot where I saw it, about a year ago, Cambodia decided to make itself the world's first organic country. And, of course, they're very polluted in many ways. I mean, that Agent Orange that we dumped on them and on the Vietnamese, you know, it's still...
Sure, and even traditional munitions are toxic.
Yep. And, you know, they still lose a couple dozen people each month to our unexploded ordnance,
right,
cluster bombs and stuff. And nevertheless, they're recovering. And I think that says something a lot about the endurance of this world and of the people in it, and how they carry on. And so that they're trying to develop the first organic country, I thought was pretty cool. And again, a very radical thing to do. So when we're out there in the world and people are always asking, you know, what can we do? What can we do? How can we stop it? Everything seems so screwed. Well, there are things we can do with our money.
There are.
And, of course, our voices and our networks, which, again, are really, really growing in many ways. We aren't going to see it on the mainstream TV anytime soon, but, you know, West Virginia and every other state has a lot of groups, and I think they're finding each other more and more.
And that's the trick. It's almost like something out of artificial intelligence theory.
Okay.
It's taking these independent units and seeing what happens when you tie them together and you see them begin to work together.
Yeah.
These individual groups in the various and sundry states, when they find each other and they move their energies in concert,
yeah,
seeing what kind of institutional intelligence grows out of that. Because I believe, Preston, that part and parcel of everything that corporate America has done has been in large part designed to create isolation, separation, and division.
Yep.
To make sure that the mountaintop removal people in West Virginia can't find and can't talk to and can't reach common cause with a group that's concerned with water rights in southern Arizona, and that neither of them can come to the point where they realize that human rights in terms of sexuality or gender rights for women or labor rights are all the same issue.
Yeah.
As long as they can make sure that we can't do that, then they can go, because see what they did, Preston, they did all that. I mean, is there a weirder marriage than, say, a bunch of Wall Street bankers and some fundamentalist idiot who thinks that this King James Version was spoken directly by God? I mean, is there anything stranger than that? But they're married up, and they're getting a lot done.
Yeah. Yeah. Their activism and their organization, and it's something else, for sure. And, yeah, we can learn a lot from the Ditto Heads, who, I mean, and Limbaugh. I mean, what does he do, really? You know, what's his activism? And, again, it's speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then his listeners, what are they doing? Well, if they're lawyers, they're doing one sort of thing. If they're musicians, they're doing another. Some are just writing letters and posting on message boards. And, you know, they contact
him. And they parrot him almost exclusively.
I find a lot of them on Amazon.com, actually. And that's the interesting thing to look at itself, Amazon. It often gets criticized for, you know, it's a big corporation. I think the owner contributes to some right-wing causes. They might contribute to Democrats, though, for all I know. But within that structure, you know, these aren't monoliths. And there are things, there are avenues that can be utilized by right-wingers or progressive people. And while I'm seeing a lot of ditto-head type postings, like every Michael Moore book will attract, you know, the he's anti-American and a lot of people going after him and giving him poor reviews on his book. And there's a discussion board and stuff like that.
And they walk away feeling like they're patriots for doing it.
Right, right. But I'm seeing progressives doing it as well. You know, they're kind of responding. And I think in more thoughtful ways, though, generally. And also, within Amazon, there are opportunities for people to sell books and DVDs. If they've got, you know, we have got so many resources oftentimes sitting on our bookshelves. And I think if we just keep circulating that stuff, you know, that's another part of the grassroots media movement that we all can do, you know, from our homes.
Exactly.
And I've actually purchased books from Powell's, that wonderful independent bookstore, from Amazon. You know, they get extra copies of something, well, they'll go on Amazon and sell it. So things are such a mix oftentimes, you know.
Well, all I can hope, Preston, is that we here are a small part of that effort to reach that critical mass.
Yeah.
To let that live network of activists and progressive theory and progressive action grow and take place, because the more ideas we add to the mix, the more likely it is that we'll find the answers that must be found.
Yep. I posted something about Head On Radio on Amazon, actually.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So, and one last thing, actually, if I may.
No, please, go ahead.
One other thing on National Public Radio that I caught recently that I really appreciated. We started talking about banks and all their ripoffs of people and stuff like that. But on NPR, they were having some talk show. It may have been Talk of the Nation. And somebody called in. The topic was something like social networking on the web and how people all around the country and the world are finding people with like interests, you know, maybe knitting clubs or whatever, and certainly a lot of political stuff. And somebody called in and mentioned a network called Kiva.org, K-I-V-A.
Sure.
And what that is basically a project to push micro-lending. And
oh, just like Grameen Bank.
Exactly. And I don't know if your audience remembers, but the last person to win the Nobel Peace Prize was one of those dreaded Muslims.
Yeah.
Muhammad Yunus. Yeah. I thought that was great. That
yeah, the man who invented the Grameen Bank.
Exactly. So Kiva, it looks like about half a dozen U.S. citizens with an entrepreneurial spirit, and they're basically enabling people to go to their site, read the story of, say, like a storekeeper in Mexico City or a farmer in Vietnam or a baker. Just recently, they started connecting with small business people in Iraq, like bakers. And people can read their story and donate anywhere from $25 or more to this person, and they'll be paying it back to you over the course of a year or two. And they've just been raising tens of thousands of dollars for all sorts of great projects.
You know, it's genius. And something like, you know, we run the PSAs for heifer.org, where people are literally sharing the growth of their livestock herds with other people to feed communities and build other genetic bases. There are ways out of these messes, Preston, and a lot of people are working on them. The problem, I think, comes back to building the infrastructure to let folks know it exists. Again, it's that connectivity that you've identified.
Yep. It's developing its its profile, you might say. That's the thing about Limbaugh. I mean, he's representing very narrow elite interests, yet he has this ability to broadcast. You know, this story, we were kind of warned in a children's story about this, figures like this. I mean, this is the Wizard of Oz. Behind the curtain, he's big on the screen and, you know, all powerful. And then you pull back the curtain, and it's like, it's just this guy.
Yeah, it's just this guy eating narcotics, and yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
Well, Preston, so good to hear from you. I always love our conversations, my friend.
Likewise, Bob.
You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, okay?
You bet. You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Share a quick email with you from, you may remember the conversation we had with, me and that mouse in my pocket. That I had with Scott Wednesday evening, a wonderful conversation. His lovely wife, Linda, has written in. She says, thanks for lighting a fire under my posterior region. You should be spending an hour and more on the mountaintop removal issue. We need to understand what is happening in the service of our spinning power meters. You've spoken to my other half, Scott, and you have shaken me to get in touch with our representatives and senators in Massachusetts on this issue. I also intend to placard the light switches in my studio building restrooms with admonishments and the I Love Mountains website so that people can understand the consequences of their careless disregard for power consumption. I'm always going around shutting off the bathroom lights and exhaust fans. A far greater stench is the stench of what is going on down there. Thanks for sounding the alarm. Linda, thank you for taking it seriously. Thank you very much not on just my behalf, but on the behalf of future Appalachian people and the ones already in existence in this state. You know, we've got a poll was taken, and something on the order of 70%+ of West Virginians, it was just a West Virginia poll, 70%+ of West Virginians said that mountaintop removal is not acceptable. That poll was, of course, promptly taken out and beaten to death and buried at midnight, and a black mass set over it. Until you spend a little bit of time here, and you hear the "Hi, I'm Don Nealon. I used to coach the Mountaineers, and I lost more consecutive bowl games than any other coach in major college football history. And I'm a friend of Cole." And then the former coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd comes up, and "I'm a friend of Cole too, Don." You know, and of course it was Don Nealon who said, "Gosh darn it, I don't understand all this economic stuff, but I know we've got to be able to compete with China in the way we dig our coal, and we don't need so many of these gosh darned regulations. The Chinese are whipping our butts." The Chinese lose 10,000 coal miners a year. That's what the Friends of Coal want for West Virginia. Evil bastards. Thanks for your note, Linda. Thank you very, very kindly. And let's go to the phones and talk to Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Well, Bob, my question is for Mr. Nealon. What, are the Chinese coming up underneath? They coming from the other side? What?
I know. He's a moron.
I tell you. There's some of them. Oh, well, let's get into the fun stuff because I know we ain't got much time.
That's okay. But well, I will tell you. No, we got plenty. There's plenty of time. But I will tell you that Don Nealon was such a good football coach that the entire student section at Mountaineer Field would have the play called before it would be run on the field. I am not kidding.
Oh, I won't even go. That's too long a discussion. We can get into that about coaches.
Okay.
I'm enjoying right now the way this whole thing with Edelman and all this stuff is kind of blowing up in their faces, going after Hillary.
Yeah.
Now the one I like is this one now where they're saying, we need to have her papers released from when she was first lady, and you're sitting there going, wait a minute. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the same George W. Bush that when he was running for office, the first thing he did when he got out of Texas as governor was take all of his papers and shove them into Daddy's presidential library so no one could look at them?
Yeah, that would be him.
And I believe the same thing, too, with Tricky Dick, Darth Cheney.
Yeah.
He did the same thing.
Well, and his own Daddy's stuff. I mean, this fight with Cheney about national security, where he says, well, you know, I'm the vice president. I'm not an agency, you know. And before that, it was, I'm not a member of the executive branch. This all centers on what is going to happen on the to the administration's papers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, it's like we said, you know, we're just waiting to see the lineup of shredding trucks. You know, and it's just amazing now that apparently our judiciary wants to say, well, you know, they can do whatever they want to. Nobody can keep an eye on them. No, there is no checks and balances as far as we care. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I know Keith Olbermann, you know, said it before. He didn't say it quite the words, but, yeah, I mean, essentially they're taking the Constitution, pulling down the zipper, and,
yeah,
you know, giving it a washing. But, oh, God, some of this stuff. Oh,
Well, you know, one of the stories I didn't get to this evening is the Katrina mobile home story.
Oh. The Waxman's hearing, or Conyers.
It makes you want to scream. You know, here's another one of those cases. Hey, you hated big government. You got your small government. Look what your small government did. We're talking about formaldehyde poisoning. And for God's sakes, we're talking about poisoning that could have been alleviated had these things just been aerated for 4 days before people were moved into
them. I'm just sitting there going, gee, it's taken them a whole century. Why don't we just get in the blankets with cholera and be done with it?
Well, if they could, they would.
You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like, you know, what they did to the Indians. We're going to give you these blankets. Well, of course, they're disease-ridden, and you're going to die from it.
Yeah, welcome to smallpox.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, I mean, it's one of the ones where I say you wish they, right then, just have the sergeant-at-arms there at the Senate just say, take him away, put him in iron.
Oh, and speaking of sergeant-at-arms, there's another story I didn't get to. This idea, did you hear about this, and I saw it in an interview with Jonathan Turley and Keith Olbermann, about inherent contempt? Did you see this?
Okay, I've heard them talk about different ones.
Okay, well, there's contempt of Congress, mm-hmm. at which point, say, the House votes contempt against Harriet Myers for being a no-show. Well, that triggers a recommendation to Alberto Gonzalez to prosecute her.
And the thing, apparently, now is Bush is saying, well, we're telling the Justice Department not to prosecute any of this.
Right. So there's another mechanism that has existed since the very beginning days of the House of Representatives that used to be frequently invoked, called inherent contempt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just excited by this. I would love to see this happen.
Well, it's sort of like W has decided, well, I'm expanding the powers of the president. Well, Congress is going to say, guess what? We're going to use the powers we haven't used for years.
Right,
we're
and this is
make use of them.
Well, this is fascinating because inherent contempt enables that's when the House says screw the Attorney General, screw that process, we'll do it ourselves, and they dispatch the Sergeant of Arms of the House to the residence of Ms. Myers. He slaps handcuffs on her, drags her sorry ass into the house, and they try her then and there, and can in fact, Luke, hold her for incarceration.
Well, I said,
for the entire remaining period of the Congress.
You know, there's a lot of things that people don't realize that's in our laws that just over the years people have quit using. You know, I used to kid a friend of mine one time. We were talking about the UN. You know, when we joined the UN, said, you do know realize when we joined the UN, they essentially set aside 3 seats for us, one for the U.S., one for California, and one for New York, because of the size of the states.
Hmm.
That when they originally were setting it up, that essentially the U.S. was going to have 3 seats, essentially.
Well, I love the possibility that we could see Harriet Myers tried in the House of Representatives, convicted in the House of Representatives, and for the remainder of this Congress incarcerated in the House of Representatives until such time as she chooses to purge herself of her contempt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw the thing. I guess it was last night. I haven't been watching it. That apparently Mr. Tweety Bird had Judith Miller on. He was claiming she was a hero. For
yeah. Oh, I did see that. I didn't. I didn't run the video of it simply because
I saw the thing over at Crooks and Liars and went, no, I don't even want to hear this.
That's exactly what I just did with the little scroll wheel on the map. Uh-huh. Nope, not gonna. Because there's only so much obscenity to which I can subject myself before things really get sideways.
Well, I enjoyed your talk the other night about religion. And you know what? It's one of those things. It's like we used to talk about politicians. If you agree with anything 100%, I don't trust it. You know what I mean? There's things about some religions I find enjoyable. You know, some things I don't. But I've never found one that, like, say, matches me 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I left the Baptist years ago because Well, it's one of those things. It's like we believe all these things until you try to hold us to them.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said,
how to live.
I guess I was 7, 8 years old, and I realized I was in trouble when I started. You know, well, what about the people who don't get to hear about Jesus? Well, they just have to go to hell, son.
No. Well, the one
it's not their fault.
I know. The one I used to like was when you'd go to church. This is about when I was in my teens, and you'd realize, and you look at the deacons, that most of them probably were hungover.
You know, looking back, and I remember when it dawned on me, I was, you know, probably a teenager, and I'd discovered the wonders of beer. I realized what hangover breath smelled like, and I realized that the first place I'd ever smelled it was in church.
Uh-huh. Well, you see some of the people sitting there in the pews, like, the, you know, they have the diggers up on the front row, and they'd be sitting there, you'd watch two or three of them just nodding off. You know what I mean? It's like, they were happy, didn't you? And I was like,
We had one who every now and then it would just, and for no apparent reason, would just sort of perk up, amen!
Yeah.
And I think that was his own way of sort of keeping himself awake. He'd, you know, nod off and before, you know, because sometimes you snore before you realize you're asleep. Amen!
You fall so far you realize, you thought, well, somebody said something? Yeah, oh yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother, yes indeed.
Testify.
I told Agnes that tomorrow night, I believe it is, over on HBO, that Mr. Marr is having a comedy special, which I'm sure will have something to do with the administration.
Oh, good. What time?
I think it was like 10 p.m. tomorrow night or something like that over on HBO.
Okay. I may have to sneak off to somewhere that there's HBO available, yeah, and have a look.
And I saw I checked the site, and it's like there's another month till he comes back out with his regular show. And boy, he's going to be loaded for bear.
I hope so. You know, his comments on the settlement of the $660 million the kitty-diddling settlement on the part of the Diocese of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a hell of a price tag. The plaintiff's lawyer on that must have been just felt like he was in the catbird seat, because he said, nope, you pay us $660 million or we're going to make Cardinal Mahoney testify. How about if we pay you $40 million? No. I said $660 million. $100 million? No, $660 million, or Cardinal Mahoney has to testify.
I still say we should get Dog the Bounty Hunter and tell him to go get Bernard Law.
Oh, I'd love.
Back in the handcuffs.
Oh, and that hideous wife of his.
Oh yeah.
See, Cardinal Mahoney, you've messed up your life, and we're just trying to help you, Cardinal. We're going to be taking you to prison now. No. Hey, wait. She's the one that's the master of disguises, isn't it?
Oh,
isn't,
yeah.
It? Yeah, she could put on a pope's robe and go arrest Cardinal Law as the pope. We could get her the red shoes, the lace dress, the pointy hat. Wow.
Get her the golf cart with the bubble over top of it. Yeah, well.
Yeah, there. Bulletproof glass around the pope. There's some faith in God for you.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, unfortunately, we're in a world where, like I say, there are crazies. You have to accept that. Don't like it, but we have to accept it.
I know, and God can't even protect the vicar of Christ from the crazy people.
Well, you know how that is. It's one of those things, it's sort of like when he looks at him and goes, wait a minute, this is the one who is the Nazi?
Yeah, that would be him.
He's saying, well, he ain't getting no protection.
We're just waiting for
him. You on the flip side.
We're just waiting for him to go down and roast with Pius XII.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, there's some of that stuff you're just kind of sitting there looking at going, I saw over last week, I guess it was, I saw that Larry Johnson's blog moved, or No Quarter, .typepads now, NoQuarterUSA.net.
Okay.
So if you go there, it'll redirect you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's one of those sites I try to check all the time, you know, just see what's going on in the world. You know, it's like, I was sitting here thinking about it, and I said, you know, you had to pick your five top sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured Media Matters, Buzzflash, Bart Cop, Crooks and Liars, and No Quarter.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Pretty close. I'd have to put WD40.com in there somewhere.
WD, and then maybe Huffington Post. You know what I mean? Just for, you know, I mean, like I say, you know how it is. We can list 25 sites without even trying hard.
Right. It's like your list of greatest movie of all time, and you're going Chinatown, yeah. Citizen Kane, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah, you have seen. I don't know which one it is. Is it USA? Has apparently got. All of a sudden decided, we're going to show all the Godfather movies.
Oh, they're doing that again?
Yeah, they were showing like two of them in one night, and I was like, God, I...
Well, that's really all there are as far as I'm concerned.
I know. Well, the third one, I just consider that sort of like now the DVDs, you know, all the extras, the deleted scenes.
Well, exactly. Hey, Luke, have a wonderful weekend, my friend. We got to roll out of here.
All righty. Have a good weekend.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And time coming up for Strictly Confidential, our fabulous gay conversation radio program right here on the Horn. Peter Godbold is rip-roaring and ready to go. A wonderful guest tonight, Cynthia Manley. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody. Get better, Billy. Our good friend Billy Shear is not feeling so good. So, you know, get with it. Get better. We're thinking of you. Thanks, Agnes. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. If you value anything that happens, everything that happens on the Horn, you value Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us get this network started and thereby are helping us save the American dream while they go about their business of building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
President Bush will temporarily transfer power to Vice President Dick Cheney tomorrow. The transfer is to be done while the president's under anesthesia for a routine colonoscopy. President Bush has signed an executive order spelling out interrogation methods that can be used by the CIA on terrorist suspects. The CIA terror detention program had been in limbo since last year when the Supreme Court questioned its legality. The executive order allows harsh questioning but doesn't give specifics. The president says the Democrats are playing politics with the Iraq funding issue. He called on them to put aside partisanship, stand behind the troops, and give them what they need to succeed. A deputy of General David Petraeus is clarifying comments he made yesterday about how long it would take to evaluate the results of the U.S. troop buildup in Iraq. Lieutenant General Raymond Odinero had said he would need until at least November to do a good assessment. However, today, he said, he was not suggesting a delay from the September reporting date. Pakistan's Supreme Court Justice today has been reinstated. Most analysts say Justice Chaudhry was tossed from office by President Pervez Musharraf because he opposes the current Pakistani regime. Chaudhry has become the focus of rallies in which dozens have been killed. Israel has freed at least 255 Palestinian prisoners, mostly members of Fatah. The release is seen as a way to boost support for President Mahmoud Abbas among his people. Last month, Islamic Hamas militants forcibly took control of Gaza. In southern Afghanistan, Taliban gunmen abducted at least 18 members of a South Korean church group. The Taliban say they're questioning the group before deciding what to do with them. The Washington Post reports FEMA has known since early 2006 that trailers provided to victims of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita contain high levels of toxic chemicals. New York City's Mayor Michael Bloomberg wants to charge a toll to drive in certain areas of Manhattan. A state commission is looking at the plan as a way to reduce traffic. And the FBI will investigate whether a referee for the NBA allegedly bet on